The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, Colorado, where the butt plug enthusiast has a thumb up his ass and Michael Kirk is helping, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with one John and Gabe.
That was after the thumb came out.
Hey, I didn't do one about the wall this time, so we're good. That's,
yeah. That would have been funnier.
No, it wouldn't. I wouldn't have been.
This is more applicable.
We were just talking about butt plugs and such.
We're recording, by the way.
I know. I'm getting my notes out.
Oh, come on.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm John.
What? John's here because he owns
the
shop.
Own the store. So fuck you guys. Oh,
jeez. So angry already.
So always. So Tim is here doing a Conan sketch in my Conan sketchbook. I'm super excited about this.
I forgot mine.
I know. That's because
you're so sad.
But so
he's got is that a ruler you're using, Tim?
Yeah, I thought he was tying the book down to the fucking boxes.
So throughout the week, Tim sends me interesting things that he's found, like as the
on his balls.
On his balls, he's like, hey, should I go to the doctor about this? Yes.
Sister, go right to you.
So typically Tim sends us pornographic things, and he did send me this amazing thing that was a funny censored porn.
Yes,
where like it's covered up by like little animations of like ice cream cones and stuff like that.
It's my favorite fucking thing ever.
But the thing that Tim sent me, that
the fucking chick playing the bongos.
My favorite is
have you seen it?
No.
Oh, God.
My
hold
favorite
on.
Is the lady. Oh, I can pull it up right away. I have it right here.
Yeah, you can. My,
yeah.
My favorite
it won't
is the
reach
lady
anywhere,
scratching
though.
Records.
Yes.
Wiggy. If I can make my phone open up. Anyway, the thing.
It's right there. I know.
Times again.
I literally have it right here. The thing that he sent me.
Literally. It's literally right here.
The thing he sent me that was.
Just stop looking. Just stop looking.
It's right there.
Just stop looking.
I win.
It's because I was looking at something else. The thing he sent me that really got me.
Turn the volume up. You got to turn the volume up.
Is she fucking a horse?
Yeah.
This is Doyle's favorite part of the show when we watch videos.
Yeah.
And don't actually like do anything.
Or play it for anybody.
The accordion.
Scratching.
Buddy, put that on Facebook. They can't take that down.
You're right. They can't. I'll do that right now.
So that everybody can see.
Lipstick all over her face.
So the one he sent me that actually. Oh, dang it. Not delete, download.
Jesus.
Buddy, she had a lot in her throat. Holy shit.
Oh.
So this is the one he sent me that I really dug.
Why are we talking about videos?
Yeah, I can't.
Thanks, Tim, for the perverted videos.
Well, so this one isn't perverted. It's just funny. And I'll describe it because it's short enough.
It's loading.
So
still loading.
Jesus Christ, what is with your signal
still
in here?
Loading.
So it's two guys.
The destroyed phone.
My signal, and it looks like something ran over his
fucking phone.
Anyway, it's not loading.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
You can't hear me talk on my phone. It's amazing.
I had to call his wife to call him.
So the video's not loading.
You gave a TOTOB case. That's what we need to do for your next phone.
The video is the music from Star Wars when Jedis fight each other, all right? And it's two guys that both have one leg and are on crutches. And the music is going, and it's like the lightsaber battle music. And the one guy walks in front of the other guy, and his friend takes his crutch and knocks one peg leg's crutch out from under him.
Cripple fight!
And the guy, like, catches his balance really fast and shoots his friend this look like, I'm going to fuck you up with this cane. And then the video ends.
As soon as I get my balance back.
As soon as I get my prosthetic, I'm going to kick your ass.
We're still waiting for it to load, by the way.
I took it. I gave up.
What's wrong with your signal in here?
Nothing. These walls are fucking thin as paper, man.
Literally.
Yeah, but yeah. Those are the kind of things Tim sends me.
Nice.
He also sent me, he's doing a commission for Valentine's Day that's Waldo and Carmen Sandiego making out.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
Nice.
Where are they?
Oh, hey.
Where's Carmen? Inside Waldo. Surprise ending.
Yes, indeed.
Shocker. Whoever said shocker, that's awesome.
Somebody couldn't join. There's another live mic.
There's a microphone. Everybody's standing back like they're
it's all
nervous.
Weird.
It's like a it's fucking like middle school dance in here.
It's the smell.
He'll only call us. He won't talk on the show.
Just put your phone up and pretend, and then it's a little easier.
That's what I gotta do.
Don't use Gabe's phone because you might cut your ear off.
No, it won't work.
You know what's funny is that when you call me, it doesn't. I made it so it doesn't ring to my phone.
Yeah.
But I was logged into Gmail one day, and the phone just started popping up. I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And then you left me a voicemail, so I was like, "Oh shit! I didn't know I could answer through Gmail."
That's
weird. Yeah. Surprise.
Hello.
No.
This is Honda of Greeley.
No. What you should have done is if that ever happens again, this should be like our standard operating procedure for this is when the phone rings, you just answer, you pick it up and you go, "What are you wearing?" Nothing else, no hello.
7 days.
Oh man, my wife would die. Like, she would freak out. Her ex-husband, when she watched The Ring, and her ex-husband had someone get on their cell phone at her work and call her from inside the building and say that to her. And she was fucking freaked out for a week that she was about to die.
We did this one thing to a girl in college right after, you know, the movie The Mothman Prophecies,
yeah,
with that little fucked up drawing all the time. Well, we put the little fucked up drawing in one of her textbooks, like in the middle, sort of like in our library to do a study group. She's so freaked out by that fucking movie.
That is
she
awesome.
Just opens up, she's like, "Ah!"
Nice.
Freaking out like immediately.
Did you see the promotions for The Ring when there's people shopping for TVs in a store?
Oh yeah,
and she fucking comes out of the TV.
I saw that one on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That chick would have gotten a nice kick to the face.
Right. Like,
nice punch to the face.
I would have lost my shit with that. Like, I definitely wouldn't have been the scream and run. It would have been the, "You're going to die." Like,
it would have been screaming, punching. Like,
I didn't deny that there would be screaming.
Throwing TVs and shit. Saying, yeah. They're all, wait.
Come over her head.
$1,500. We don't have insurance for that. We didn't think this through at all.
This is a terrible idea.
Oh, shit. What are we doing? This isn't a normal day today.
No,
I know. Where are we at again?
We're at Hall of Justice.
Hall of Justice.
Remember,
it's coffee talk.
Tim's got his
Parker,
Colorado.
That's right. Drink. Yeah. Drink.
I left my door open on my car, and he's like, "Buddy, you can't leave your door open like that."
No, that's not what I said. I said there's something wrong with your car, and I'm going to fix it for you. I just thought you were inside for getting
out. I was
"We're in
Parker. I could leave it up open all day, and nobody's going to come into it."
It's true.
Do white people be stealing everything?
The white people will be putting stuff in there like gift baskets.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Hey, you might consider locking your door next time.
It's called Manifest Destiny, son. It's us.
Yeah. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Como they're here. Come get them.
I hear you guys are doing ice raids now.
Oh, that's terrible.
Are you here to do
terrible.
My sprinklers?
Holy shit. I may have told this story on the show before, but this is worth retelling because you were here. So my dad lived in like this really nice park neighborhood in Greeley. Big house, big lawn, like literally like a block away from like this really, really nice park. You know, UNC professors all live in the area and like, you know, mid-level managers at like insurance companies and stuff. So it's like a fairly affluent neighborhood. My dad loves working on the lawn. That's like my dad's hobby, right? So he's out in the lawn. He's typical. Trimming hedges. Yeah, typical Mexican shit. Like,
except for Juan.
Yeah.
Juan's like, I fucking hate working on lawns.
What is wrong with
I
you?
I cannot stand it. I wanted to. I'm interjecting.
You was
going to
hire a Mexican.
I do. I actually want to hire a white guy, not a Mexican.
Oh, dude, that'd be hilarious. So my dad is out working on the lawn, and this guy goes around the, you know, drives by. Goes around the block, pulls up next to my dad, rolls down the window, and says, hey, hola, how's it going? My dad's like, good. Like, why is this guy talking to me in half Spanish?
Bueno.
And he looks at my dad and he goes, how much do you charge per hour? This is a great lawn. My dad drops like his mortgage number. He's all, that's how much I pay a month to manicure this lawn. It's my fucking house. The awesome. Guy's like,
well, have a good day.
I mean, but like, how much would you charge?
If you were to do it.
My question still stands. Yeah. Yes.
You have a really nice lawn. This isn't about you being Mexican.
No.
I gotta go.
Well, so my phone's ringing. Hello?
You gotta do it backwards. we have just have a phone that looks like mine. Your phone doesn't work.
We have a dude who at Honda who fucking just talks. And one of the guys, the Hispanic guys, he picked up his notebook and he's like, I gotta go. You're talking too much. I'll see you later.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So I do construction, and when I was an apprentice, my foreman was Mexican. But the thing
you
was,
know Donald Trump?
No. So my buddy. So one of the other GCs comes over, and he comes starts talking to me, and I'm like, second year apprentice. I'm just like, uh-huh, yeah. And my foreman's just sitting right there. I'm like, he's the guy you want to talk to. He's like, oh, I thought you were in charge. Fuck.
Yo, that's fucked up.
Well, so I think I told the story also, so if you want to skip it, you're fine.
Nope.
When we bought our house here in Parker, Carissa's mom, who is full Hispanic, and Carissa were out working on the lawn, and one of the neighbors, like three houses down, came by and said, hi, you know, are you guys just getting the lawn ready for the new owners? And Chris is like, I own this fucking house. This is my mom. So same kind of thing. Like, Jesus
Christ.
People's assumptions
about who does lawn care, like, in Greeley, the only people that do, like, professional lawn care are fucking teenage white kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't see very many Mexicans doing lawn care. They, like, do construction.
I do in Eaton.
That's because
and there's like five in a crew, so the whole thing takes like 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
It's fucking crazy.
Dude, that's amazing to watch. when I worked, I actually worked kind of like this area, Parker and Aurora and stuff, doing house painting with one of my friends. And so we would run into like lawn care crews and stuff like that, like while we were
Did you
working.
Have a fight? Was it like Anchorman?
Dude, it's more like West Side Story.
Fucking throwing tridents and shit,
snapping at each other.
Just running around with a grenade. Ah!
It escalated quickly. No, but so.
Gabe killed the guy.
I know. So we would be painting a house, and like you know, a lawn care crew would like roll in, and they would work like kind of around us and stuff, especially if we were sprucing up a house for like sale or something. And that's how it was. Like five guys would come in, go from front to back and then back to front and be out in like a half an hour.
Nice.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I have guys that do my yard because I hate yard work as well. And it's serious. Like, they came in there, and by myself takes me like 2.5 hours. They had it done in 15 minutes. Just
yeah.
Like five dudes. Just
yeah.
Two guys with lawnmowers, guy with the rake right behind there, guy with just a little blowgun. Just
jerking off.
Yeah, just blowing
out. Fertilizer.
You would be amazed how hard it is to do this 35 times a day.
Just
right arm.
Yuck, yuck,
yuck. Try switching that up, bud.
So should we talk about stuff that we're supposed to talk about?
This is what we're supposed to talk about.
Well, I mean, like the actual podcast.
Tim, you got any sex news? Butt plug news?
Damn it.
Well, I do.
Just old butt plugs.
Put them up on Craigslist.
Gently used.
Cleaned.
You only used
somewhat.
Once.
Somewhat.
Put it in the dishwasher. It's good to go.
I couldn't get this one stain off.
Not sure if blood or shit.
Possibly both. So the people who did Ojoy Sex Toy, which we've talked about on the show also.
Whom we need to get on the show.
I keep forgetting their names. God, that's why I don't ever reach out.
They finally released an actual adult coloring book for their stuff. Because that's what all that shit over there, you know, like the Batman stuff and all the crazy fractals, those are called adult coloring books. But there's no boobs in there. So Ojoy Sex Toy released an actual adult coloring book. So you can color in your dildos or your...
And like whatever color you want.
Yeah, whatever. I don't, but I can order you one. You can use all those fancy fucking markers over there. Fucking rainbow butt plugs.
All I'm gonna get in my messenger from now on from Tim is like fucking the shit he colored in. Just check out this dick. Now this one.
Hey, that's a picture of your real dick, Tim.
Husky's designer dildos.
You just paint your dick rainbow colors.
Taste the rainbow, guys. Sounds terrible.
But that's all I have for sex news.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ojoy Sex Toys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, do you have the book?
I do.
Maybe I'll have to buy it so that I can remember to fucking...
Well, I'll sell it to you.
I know you will.
John's got fucking, a whole adult section.
Fucking capitalist.
Beat a curtain. Oh, you should totally do a beat a curtain. Just sell like just sell like friggin' 80s porn videos and
the velvet, there's like a strobe
velvet room down here at the bottom.
Yeah. Some guy in glasses.
You gotta hire just a guy. No, you gotta do what the old video stores did. Put the mirror in the corner so that you can just see it from there and just be like, hey, you're clearly 15.
I think I told you, so I got a call on the phone. Mike's a big fan of all of the Boundless comics that are in the previews.
It cracks me up.
So Boundless is like a subsidiary of Avatar.
I mean, he doesn't read.
Right.
He just beats to him.
And for some reason, the pages come stuck together already.
They come
stuck together.
Pre-sticky.
Pre-jizzy. This is already a great episode.
It is. It is. But I get a call the other day from a dude who wants to order like specific covers. And so if you don't know the Boundless stuff, they make like a bajillion covers for an issue. So they have Jungle Fantasy Ivory.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're the one that's always like, I'm going to need all of those. No, he doesn't really know at all.
That's Michael Kirk, by the way.
I'm going to need two copies of every cover of
a
Jungle
reader
Fantasy.
And a beater. Whammy.
I thought you just said, you need a reader and a beater with that?
Exactly. But I get a call from
a dude.
Trust
me, none of these are going to be mint after a little bit.
No. He's like, I need to order, I need to see if you stock a comic book. And he's like, do you order any of the Boundless stuff? And I was like, no, I know where this is going though. And he's like, well, I can look it up and see if I can still order it from Diamond. If it's still in stock, I can get it for you. And he's like, okay, I need the Jungle Fantasy Ivory Adult Extreme Edition, which is terribly rapey.
Yeah.
Like, it's
a
cover.
You had to pre-read it before he got
it?
No,
I had to look it up. Because I had to look it up. What is he?
Was it the ass dildo or what?
No. It was like a.
He knows.
I know.
He knows. No, not that one. The other rapey one.
The other super rapey. Yeah.
It's like cover.
It's like a chick with her ass in the air, and it's like a bunch of natives that are like putting fingers in buttholes and vaginas and stretching things out on the cover of a comic book.
Yeah. Isn't there one where there's like...
even Husky thinks that's a little much.
Isn't there one where there's like a velociraptor like raping someone?
That's probably the same
like,
stuff.
I think there's like a jungle...
Why are you asking him? You have the expert right next to you.
I don't know, Mike. What issue is that?
I don't know anything about issue number 10. It's the extreme nude B cover.
Yeah.
Dude, the amount
it was just super
of covers
creepy.
They put out for those...
Yeah.
Is like so when I was working at the comic book shop, I was kind of like, man, do people collect all of these? And then it occurred to me that probably very few people are collecting them to have the full collection. People are just collecting whatever their niche of like spank bank is.
Right.
They're like, yeah, I want to watch dinosaurs fucking people.
Native rapey anal probing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sounds awesome.
That sounds like a good title.
They should just call one of their comics that Native Rape just... Anal Probe. Like, issue one.
So anyway,
coloring,
I can't...
Comics. Coloring book.
I'll write it.
Hint, wink, wink. Tim will fucking draw that shit.
He put his hand up. He's in. And by in, I mean like three fingers.
Yeah, rapey in.
Yeah, there's a hole in one of your books over there right now.
Damn it, Tim. I got to put a tarp up next time.
It's like a very strange Gallagher.
But I can't wait for the dude to come in because I'm going to make so much awkward eye contact. And be like, here's your super rapey Native jungle fantasy cover, creeper.
It's like the...
You should call him when there's like 15 people in here.
On a Wednesday?
Hey, we got your books in. Hey.
Oh.
Sorry,
dancing on the cords.
It's like the, do you ever see that sketch comedy show, Whitest Kids You Know?
Yes.
It's like the jerk off one, right. where the guy's making like super hard eye contact and slow jerking. And his friend's like, no, don't look at me while you do it. It's just quick, like a joke. He's all, yeah.
The ties came down last week and they're trying to do all this fitness stuff and lose weight. But Eric bought this, it's a forearm exerciser. So it's this little, exactly. It's this little circular ball.
I thought he had strong forearms already.
I know. I feel like all of their sexual things with the self, with each other, involve a lot of forearm work.
Forearms. Maybe not enough. Man.
Yeah, I know.
Bulk up a little
He's
bit.
Just all, hey.
They got to balance it out. If you're just right-handed, you got to get something going on.
Because
the left.
You want a little different.
Like
sometimes.
When I was in high school, I'd sit there and do forearm curls on the left all day long. Because then when I'd go home, take care of the right.
It's like a stranger.
And back in high school,
Bitchy.
I could do three sets of each time.
So they bring this thing down to the store, and it's got like a little gyro in it. So you're supposed to spin it with your hand, and it does something to work out your forearm.
Because the gyro pushes the opposite way your hand.
And the faster you spin it, the more revolutions it
goes.
Yeah,
that definitely doesn't sound like a jerk-off toy at all.
Exactly. But they brought it down, and they're like, here, try it out. And so I was behind the counter, and I had it down here going like this. And they're like, no, you should totally do it like up here because that looks terrible.
Yeah,
like,
by the face, that makes sense, guys.
How much can I – what's your name? I'll get your pull for you. Exactly. We're never shopping there again.
That guy was really strange.
Did that good glory to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice guy, but I think he was jerking off on the counter.
I think he had one hand down his pants.
The wife's like, we're never going there again. The husband's like, no, he seemed nice.
No, he was cool.
He seemed like a normal bro. Right.
Well, I don't have any problems with that.
Oh man,
good times.
So I came prepared with news this time. Not nudes.
Oh no!
Please don't spit coffee all
nudes.
Over the soundboard.
No nudes.
No nudes. I'll catch you with those later.
Okay.
Now I have to.
My arm's gonna be under the fucking counter.
No, I have actual news this time.
Actual news.
When I get started.
Were you giving us alternative facts before or what? Fake news?
No, no. The last like three or four
alternative facts. Like, oh yeah, no.
No, no, none of those were lies. No, I've been coming just with the stuff that I read and
you have been
coming
all over the place. This is the whole episode is just going to be dick jokes.
Jizz and dick and butt plugs.
Maybe a little
Don't put them over the table, though. It's kind of fucking flimsy.
Yeah, that would. We are a couple of big
boys.
That
heavy.
Would be
That's
a little
what I'm
too
saying.
Much.
Those stairs look pretty sturdy.
Oh yeah.
I think all it really needs is a beaded curtain and a security guard.
By the way, there's free movies over there. Help yourselves to that shit. They're not porn. It's not porn.
You just put a beaded curtain.
That got super
there,
weird as soon as you said free movies. I was like, are we talking like those 12-hour porno videos? Yeah.
On my eBay
stash. It
was
80 hours, buddy. 80 hours.
It's terrible. Don't ever do that.
Dude, at what point?
So he's here, so we need to ask about midget porn.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good segue. Before you get to your real news.
Good point, Juan. Michael Kirk, tell us about the amazing world of midget porn. You start
like are there stars that you follow, like midget porn stars? And you're like, oh,
Bridget the midget.
So is it
Heidi the height. That was not good.
For the record, Bridget the Midget's a real person.
Oh.
She's a stripper, too.
She's a stripper. I saw her live once.
I didn't. I've never been to a stripper.
She was short.
She was very short.
So it all started when I was a wee lad of 8 years old and saw Total Recall and saw the little midget prostitute. Yes. And I was like, that is extremely interesting right there.
Plus you're eight, so she's kind of your size. Right now. Like, for me, it was the three titty chick, but you know, different strokes.
Whatever. Yeah. Went, Arnold's gonna rip her in half.
I mean, for me, it was Arnold. So.
Oh yeah, especially when his eyes are popping out.
I'd be so I want to titty fuck those eyeballs. Yes.
Just right in the socket.
Oh, hey Mel, that part's gross. My bad.
Me for eyeball.
It's like 30 seconds ago.
No, when I was in
my face already.
But you haven't gotten hot yet.
And I forgot my dildo.
Hot.
I was going to bring a dildo to throw at your face, but I didn't.
We would have totally Facebook lived that.
You know why? Oh, yeah. You know why he didn't, right? None of them were clean, right? Now.
Exactly. They're in a bucket of Clorox. Getting all clean.
Jesus, tell me you clean them up after that.
No, man.
Why is it burned?
It's nice, real nice. Just real a little nice stingy.
It's
nice.
A part of the effect.
Yeah. It's so stingy.
Oh, fuck.
It's like when you get a blowjob after your girlfriend just brushed your teeth.
Yes.
And it's all minty and you're like, oh, that kind of burns.
It burns a little.
Nice. I like it.
Kind of.
At least it's going to smell minty down there.
Fresh and clean.
I'm just saying, one time my girlfriend at the time had eaten like a bunch of green chili. Ooh. No go. No, that is a mistake. Don't let green chili touch your dick.
No.
That doesn't even sound fun.
Oh, no. It wasn't.
There's got to be a name for that. Hold on. Green chili spicy. Let's see.
Yeah, we at work the other day, one of my guys was on the ladder and somebody started spraying him with a little bottle of alcohol, just like because he was sitting there talking to me.
Like a dog that's not listening.
Sorry. Shut up.
But then he was like spraying. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, fuck. And I just hit him right in the crotch. He's like, I go commando, holy fuck.
My balls are on fire.
And it's like rubbing alcohol. They use the clean stainless pipe. So it's like 90% alcohol. And I gotta go to the bathroom.
I dared a guy to drink that stuff at work.
Green chili chode. A dick that's been exposed to hot green chili. Exposure may be linked, but not necessarily hand jobs, blowjobs immediately after eating, anal 3 to 12 hours after eating.
So I want to know who's just running their dick on green chili. Because it's not specific
ever,
to a BJ.
Green chili after you take the skins off? That thing is like, It's all slippery and kind of meaty. Yeah.
She shit like Rias.
Right. Right. Yeah, no. Tim's
because
out.
Because
our butt plug enthusiast is out.
I know that Tim is far enough away that didn't get picked up. But yeah. He was pointing out that description of green chili chode involves anal, which means that like somebody has shit out green chili and their butthole is spicy enough that when your dick is in, it burny, hurts. Burny. Yeah. That's a lot of green chili and shitting.
A lot of flaming anus.
Yeah, that. Sweetie, not in the butt tonight. It's real raw. I've been shitting green chili for like a week.
Can I read you the description?
Of course.
After drinking all night at Albuquerque Billy's Long Bar, you decided to rub up against the chubby girl in the Taco Cabana
chubby
line.
Girl.
She smiles and invites you to her table. Back at her place, you whisper, "Ever done anal?" She smiles again and grabs your junk. After stroking her pooper for a few, your dick is on fire. You scream. She apologizes. Is your dick on fire? Yes. I ate a double meat, double cheese, and double green chili Lotta burger for dinner. I gave you green chili chode. There you go. So that's a thing. Gabe's had green chili chode.
I haven't had green chili chode. I never thought there would be a moment in my life where an Urban Dictionary thing is actually
applicable
to
you.
I mean,
we need to get him a t-shirt that says that.
I survived the green chili.
I survived green chili chode. I would wear that shirt.
I only
everywhere.
Do green chili chode.
No. I did not. Me not like. That was awful.
You build up a tolerance to it.
I don't want to build up a tolerance to it. It was burning and fucking
Mel, I need you to eat all these green chilies.
To which she would
Can
be like, to which she would be like, I listen to your fucking podcast. No, fuck you.
So
when she hears this, she's going to send me that message. Be like, no, fuck you. I will not suck your dick after eating green chili.
I was thinking the anal, but I mean.
Hey-o.
She's going to call you and tell you fuck you, too. She's proactive about this.
I won't even remember.
That's true.
What are you talking about?
Anal.
I hardly ever suggest anal. Yeah. Just like on Christmas, my birthday. When you're really drunk.
Oh, goddamn. You need the Cajun turkey injector. Got to pre-lube
the hot chili. It's just like fucking capsaicin into the ass. Oh, God, this sounds awful.
Yeah.
So
back to midget porn.
Yeah.
So, you know,
get on a fucking green chili chode?
I know.
Jesus
I know.
Christ.
We went from midget porn to green chili.
This is a comic book show, right?
I feel like the most amazing thing would...
It's pop culture, all right? Porn is a part... is in the pop culture.
Okay.
I feel like it would be amazing to see what a flow chart of the topics that we talk about. Like, it starts off here.
I bet Matt could put that together.
Here.
Is that what his doctorate thesis is on?
We just need to ask Matt to break it down.
Yeah. Matt, could you make a flow chart of what every episode is like?
He's going to have like a bar graph, pie graph.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time that we spend talking about dildos versus comic books versus TV versus...
Yep. As a listener, I always just assume that the first half an hour is... Sex toys.
How are we doing? Where are we at? Yes!
Okay.
Achievement unlocked.
Then you guys
got
start
a PS4 trophy for that. You start the news, and then you get sidetracked and go right back to the sex talk. Then you start to talk about things you've seen, and then it gets sidetracked right back to
exactly
sex talk.
That.
Yeah.
Like, I literally said, let's get to news. And I said, I actually brought news. And then you're like,
and then,
wait.
Thanks to Juan.
So, to this day, still the greatest porn I've ever seen in my whole entire life. I saw this when I was like 12 or 13 because I lived overseas. And overseas, after midnight, they would pop on hardcore porn on normal channels.
Wait, wow. Where is this overseas?
In Taiwan.
Okay.
So,
Asia's fucked up.
Yeah.
He's going to start routing the stations to his house.
Asia's not fucked up. I feel that we're fucked up because we focus so much on like nudity. Like, all of a sudden you see a tit, and all of a sudden it's like, oh!
I never
see a guy pull out a gun and shoot another guy in the head. You're like, I'm okay with my kid watching that.
See how he's bringing this back? See?
No, that's
he's
true.
Putting
you're
us on track.
Right.
Whereas in most countries overseas, it's the exact opposite.
Violence is
Violence is what they censor. Nudity, they're just
I don't
want to
say
whatever,
nothing, but I show
pubic
my 4-year-old watches whatever I watch. So if there's tits on the screen,
I mean, kids watch whatever I watch except for Pornhub.
Well, I was watching Lethal Weapon yesterday, and within the first 5 minutes, I was like, holy shit, there's a lot
too
of tits in this.
It's like, damn, you know, opening credits right to the titties. I like this show. I don't remember that as a kid.
It's so funny. My daughter has a theory about rated R movies in the 80s that it was mandatory that you have at least one pair of tits in it. Yeah. And as soon as that
and
came up.
And then Mel Gibson's white ass.
That's what I think. It's like, damn, you really see his ass a lot in this.
As soon as it came up, my wife's like, well, there's the boobs. I was like, Bailey would be tickled pink about that. Like, she would think that was so fucking hilarious that boom, boobs.
Boobs.
And then they're the only boobs in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like,
except for the video that Danny Glover watches creepily.
See, in the 90s, in front it was of the... for a woman to get an Oscar nomination, she had to show her tits.
With those big-ass glasses.
From Anton Arcane from Swamp Thing. Like, they traded glasses.
Well, let's save that topic for later.
The greatest porn ever made.
That's post-dildo time.
Yes.
So it was a Christmas theme porn.
Oh, God.
And this is the first time I've seen it. This is the first time I've seen a midget in a porn, and I'm like, okay, I can see where this is going. Well, Mrs. Claus decides to grab one of Santa's elves because Santa's not taking care of her.
Oh, it's a dude midget.
Yep. Picks him up, puts him on top of the table, and just starts blowing the shit out of him. And then, of course, she ends up getting banged by the midget. And then there's your straight midget on midget porn, which is just hilarious to watch. When I was in college, my buddy used to throw parties all the time, and that's all he would play at the party. Like,
that's a weird party.
Dude, right?
But we're all just be drinking, socializing, but in the background there's music going on, but then on the TV there's just midget porn the whole time.
By drinking, socializing, he means like giving each other a shitload of blow.
Right.
Hey, man, it's not gay unless you come, all right?
That's why you did the blow. They, so it was harder to yeah.
They were giving. They were doing Dutch rudder. All right, it's not gay.
Yeah, exactly. Our balls weren't touching with our hands. There's nothing wrong with looking at John and just making eye contact.
No, I'll wink at you. I'll make
this
the pouty look.
If you wink, then it can
then
be
it's
a little
gay.
Weird.
Damn it!
My dog winks at me.
It's weird.
Your dog winks at you. Is that
does that mean my dog's gay?
Fucking Conan likes what you're rocking there.
Like, especially when I'm beating off, he winks at me. It's weird.
Just sits next to you going,
winking. Can dogs wink? I don't think that's
no,
real.
I swear to God. Like,
you gotta post this video. Not of you beating off, but of your dog winking.
Well, I mean, it's both at the same time.
That's the only thing. All you hear is you just hear the sounds of him beating off, and he's watching the dog.
Wink, wink, wink. And the phone's going like this up and down. You're like, ooh.
The sound doesn't work, so it's just...
We need to get him a Steadicam.
Get him a GoPro on top of his head.
Yeah, but that's on my head, and I feel like I'm a really active jerker, so...
I mean,
you gotta really get in there when it's that small. I'm just saying, like...
Adds to the experience.
You want to get back to the news?
Well, so
well,
if
are we done with midgets?
Oh, I don't know. Where we're going
Then you get the guy.
What are the other so you got...
I feel like they're the standard modes of porn.
Full-grown little guy, and then you got little person.
Yeah, and then you got the full-grown man with the little girl.
With a little chick.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that's more popular.
I don't like that. Yeah, that's
little person,
creepy.
Little person. Little female person.
Saying little girl makes me kind of feel a little nauseous.
Speaking of which, is my boundless books coming? Yeah.
I was going to say, he's going to go actively jerk off in the corner.
I make that noise, too.
I think Gabe's having a seizure. No, he's just jerking off.
He's just jerking it.
He'll be done in. Yep, there it is.
Oh, man. So speaking of Asia and like kind of on the same subject before we go into news, because he was talking about porno in Taiwan.
Yeah.
So I saw on At Midnight that there's a video game that's come out of Japan where you play a pair of panties that runs around killing other pairs of panties.
That's awesome.
It's so weird.
That makes
sense. It's so amazing. Japanese culture confuses me.
I went to Japan when I was like 6 or 7. So, like, I don't really remember. I remember a lot of it. But
you remember panties murdering other panties?
Like, I remember looking at the porno comics. It was like everywhere. You go sit down in a restaurant, and while you're sitting, you just grab up a comic. And also, I'm like, oh, my mom's just like, go shut that, take that. Like, stop looking at that. Yeah, freaking out. But, man, it's just, like I said, they're
tentacle
more concerned
aliens
about.
Aliens do that?
They're more concerned about censoring violence than they are nudity. Like I said, that's why they probably don't have all the violent problems that. We do. So.
Gotcha. Well,
yeah, that and like super stringent gun laws.
That too.
Shh, don't talk about guns.
Pew pew. No, you got to do.
Side note.
Somebody pointed.
I think everybody in the Lego. Somebody told me that everybody in the Lego Batman, when they're shooting stuff, goes pew pew. Like even the cops are like pew 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 pew.
That's off.
Which is amazing.
That's so awesome. Somebody pointed out that Donald Trump's only sound effect for all things is bing, bing, bing. And then they like had like this mega clip of him doing, this guy wrote me a check, all bing, 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 bing. These guys were shooting guns, bing, 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 bing. This guy was dropping bombs, bing, 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 bing. Like that's his sound effect for everything. It's amazing.
Have you watched the...
So
it's
now my sound effect for everything.
Conan O'Brien lip reading thing?
I was jerking off, bing, bing, bing,
oh,
bing,
they're
bing,
amazing. Bing. It's Donald Trump calling Barack Obama and just saying stupid shit. Nice. It's funny. We'll have to watch them.
The bad lip reading of the inauguration was amazing. That's
funny.
Genius.
I'm loving the ones where he holds up all his executive orders and somebody wrote, like drew like a cat and it's like cat meow on one side. Right, I saw somebody put ABC.
Yeah, that's one I saw was the alphabet, like all scrawled like a 5-year-old.
Just all
with
the
backwards
ones.
Letters.
D and B are flip flopped.
News?
Yes, news.
Hit us with the news. Hit us with the news.
So I have a few things. One of these is old. I was going to talk about it last episode. But
irrelevant.
Yeah, next.
John still was on, so all we talked about was this. He fucking messaged me last week. He's all, hey, I just listened to a new episode. Why didn't we talk about the bell clapper syndrome on this episode? I was like,
I wonder if anybody looked that up.
I guarantee you he looked that up. Hellboy 3 is on again, off again, on again, off again. Like it's been announced that it was going to happen and then announced it's not going to happen and then announced it was going to happen and not going to happen like over and over again.
Somebody put that up. Was it Guillermo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Guillermo.
Del Toro put a tweet out that said if his tweet got 100,000 likes or retweets or something within 24 hours, he would sit down with Perlman and Mignola and try to figure it out. And so I guess he did a Facebook thing too where it
got
said,
like 300,000 tweets.
So it got the response that it needed, but
so
then they...
The interest is there, but they just need to fucking do it.
Yeah. So other...
I'm not interested.
Other bullshit. Fuck you.
I retweeted.
I just took your kidney out.
So the other on again, off again thing that actually looks like it might get greenlit is another season of Firefly.
On Fox or something.
That's weird.
With like
another cast.
Another cast, basically the same universe, but a different group of people.
They're just going to redo
by Joss Whedon.
Season one?
No, so the idea would be a continuing story in the universe and then like another movie that has the new cast and the old cast.
I don't know if I'm in with that.
I would be okay with
it. Star Trek Generations type of deal?
Kind of, except for probably hopefully not as awful as Generations was.
William Shatner's not awful.
Well, yeah, but Generations was terrible. Like that movie was so dumb.
I watched it on a plane. It was really bad.
Yeah. That's pretty much the standard definition of a movie is bad. I watched it on a plane.
Yeah.
Like, if only...
There were snakes on it.
Also a terrible movie.
What if you watch snakes on a plane on a plane? That's weird, right?
Super meta.
Yeah, exactly.
So Netflix is going to do a hard R animated version of Castlevania, and I could not be more excited for that. I fucking loved Castlevania, like
the serial,
the video game.
I
don't know.
What the fuck, Juan?
Symphony of Night is still probably
one
of the greatest.
I would love to see a hard R Count Chocula, though. That would be amazing.
I want to suck your dick.
A pink Frankenberry.
Hey, Boo Berry.
Hello, I'm Pink Frankenberry.
Hey, guys, I'm a monster.
In bed.
Look at my Frankencock.
Dude, you are going to make Juan spit shit all over the place. I'm super excited for it. Like, I mean, the Castlevania like plot line has always been like one of my favorite video game plot lines about the Belmont family and like on and on. I'll probably talk about that later, but I'm super excited to see it. I'm hoping that they do it kind of like anime style, and I'm hoping that it's kind of in the vein of like Vampire Hunter D, because the artist that did all the concept art for Castlevania, the video game, like originally, like all the interior art, remember when video games came with instruction booklets?
Yep.
All the interior art of Castlevania was done by the guy that did all of the like promo art for Vampire Hunter D. And I was always fascinated with the cover of Vampire Hunter D. And then I would watch the movie and be like, this doesn't look like that. I still love this, but this doesn't look like that. And that's really a bummer. Kind of like I went over to my friend Steve's house.
Like Street Fighter?
I went over to my friend Steve's house for the Super Bowl, and he has this book called The Art of Atari. And it's the covers
of all the games.
Of all the Atari video games. With screenshots
of
what the
game
looked like. I was all, this is what I hated about video games when I was like 7 years old. It's like, dude, Pitfall looks fucking amazing. This is stupid. No wonder there's a fucking...
I read for that Castlevania series, they're going to do... I think they're doing Castlevania 3.
Yeah, that was my understanding.
That's what they're going to base it off of.
That's cool.
Which was my favorite of the Nintendo games. Like
mine was too. I love Simon's Quest.
So I liked the idea, because I'm a big... I really like... This is my old man pick, but I'm going to talk about it a little bit here too.
Nah.
I'm a big fan of role-playing games, so I liked the idea.
In bed.
Yeah. You dress up
I'm
as...
I'm a sexy nurse.
Mel's like...
Turn your head and cough.
Get my thong off.
Your face.
I'm going to take your temperature with my thermometer.
My balls are so
For those of you that didn't hear that, Tim amazing. Made reference to my giant ball sack. No, so I like the idea of Simon's Quest that you got items and you leveled up and all that stuff, but the gameplay itself, I didn't really dig that much. But Symphony of Darkness or Symphony of the Night?
Symphony of the Night.
Symphony of the Night I think, like, executed that perfectly, where your character levels up and, you know, you get stronger and your chain gets longer. Yeah, they went
with the whole Metroid style.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with midget porn.
Mike midget porn. Yeah. Kirk. Tim, but plug into Husky. I like it.
That's right. So,
Tim did warn me. Did you? He's like, I don't call in because if I call in, they're just going to totally change everything I just said and just totally warp it around. I'm like, that's what they do.
I need you to call in just so we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's.
he's gonna kill himself if you don't call in.
Hey, so our number is 970-573-6148.
And that's for anybody, not just Tim. But
not just Tim.
We'd like you to call in, too.
We like when people call right us now. In. He literally... 970, one more time for the folks at home, 970-573-6148. If you want to call and leave a message with the Thinking Outside the Long Box Prue...
Prue? Prue?
Now there.
Breakfast.
Jesus Christ.
I don't speak English. So,
but on the plus side, if I do kill myself because nobody calls in, you could just change it to the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline.
Oh, we should just name it that. Yeah, that's what's,
if you'd like to give a call to the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline, it's 970-573-6148.
You can leave us a donation.
Yeah, please leave us a donation.
In his honor,
cash, always. Sperm.
Oh,
wait,
whoa. What?
Me and John accept cash. You can accept all the sperm you want.
Is that a direct deposit for that sperm?
Oh, yeah. I'll take it on credit, too.
A bucket of sperm off Amazon and ship it.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the 50-gallon drum of lube, though, just because that'd be hilarious to have at home. What's that for? Oh, you know.
Oh, just wait. I'm going to go get the tarp.
I'm going to dunk you in it.
Have my way go through this everywhere. In the next 2 weeks.
Go get the rubber sheets.
Yes.
So we went.
Fuck your armpit. Back to form. Fuck your elbow.
Now back to news. Did anybody watch the Infinity War, like, little teaser mini doc?
Nope.
It was kind of cool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
So there's a little bit of on-set stuff with Robert Downey Jr., the kid that plays Spider-Man, and...
Star-Lord.
Yeah. Chris Pratt. I don't know the name of the...
Holland. Something Holland.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
Alec Holland.
Yeah. This is going to be like a crazy accident later. He's going to go from Marvel to DC.
Arm's going to rip off and grow back.
But like in a really weird way. It's like a vine and then magically is an arm.
Yeah.
Little tiny fingers. Donald Trump. there was very little like actual like, you know, on set stuff. There was very little filming that's happened, but there was a lot of like concept art like that looked pretty cool. Like it was interesting. It's kind of that thing where they're building it up like so far ahead of it coming out. That's just kind of like, I kind of don't want to watch this because I don't want to get so excited that I'm like, why isn't this coming out?
I'm excited.
You're turgid as we speak.
Yeah. So the biggest thing out of that was the Rocket Raccoon Thor concept art at the end, because it looks like Thor doesn't have he doesn't have Mjolnir in the picture. It's some sort of long fucking axe thing. So a lot of people are speculating that somehow he becomes unworthy. He has to carry some other item, some other
weapon.
Where
is that happening in the current Marvel comic universe?
So they're saying in the movie universe that something might happen in the Dark World. Isn't that the next one? No,
in
the yeah, that one. So that was the interesting part to me.
I thought that was pretty interesting. And like I loved the concept
art.
It
was cool seeing the three of them together. Thanos without just seeing his head and just sitting on the chair looks cool. The art of his body without the helmet and shit on, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I mean, it's Marvel Cinematic Universe, it'll probably be good. So there you go.
Yeah.
There was a teaser thing for it.
The first critical screen test for Guardians got 100%.
Oh, never happened or something. I heard.
That's awesome. I've already heard people like, I don't think they can do it again. It's not going to be any good.
Of course.
A sequel. It's going to be shitty. It's like, dude, guys, just watch it. Like, who cares? Like, you know, you're going to bitch about it online for like 6 months before the movie comes out, and then you're still going to pay fucking money and go see it.
Yeah.
So who cares?
I think Drax is going to be fucking amazing.
Dude,
yeah.
So
the Mantis thing at the end of the second trailer, watch out. after she fucking already got hit by the meteor. Oh, I tried.
So I feel like his personality seems a little different. I'm kind of hoping something weird happens to him to where he has like all these crazy emotions and stuff, because I feel like that'd be a great
guy. Well, you saw kind of a transition at the end of the first movie where he became more, I guess, involved with everybody in the group, so hopefully that continues.
I'm hoping that it's like something traumatic that makes him over emotional.
Gotcha.
Like that would be a hilarious gag to me, but
I didn't know Mantis was a thing. Like with the lady in the first trailer, I just thought was a lady they were going to go see. I didn't know she was actually like a part of the team.
A character. Yeah. I didn't really either. Like I don't think I'm even familiar with that character at all. Like most of the Guardians of the Galaxy characters, I'm not familiar with because there was zero interest in that comic book when I was a kid.
I didn't know what's his name would be on the team either. Fucking, I don't even know
Yondu.
It was Yondu.
And his fin's taller. I don't know if you saw.
I didn't see that. You said that with a very
maybe
fucking.
Just
his fin's
maybe he's
taller.
Erect.
That's
because that was the thing. He's the only character from the original Guardians that's in the Guardians TV show movie.
Oh.
And in the comic book, he had this like crazy mohawk fin.
Because
and
it was the 90s, so like everything was like ridiculously
over-exaggerated.
Or feet were super small.
Right.
Rob Liefeld. Looking at you, bud. Someday you're going to be on the show and I'm going to ask you, can you draw me a foot?
Yeah, I just can just you draw like me a, just Deadpool's
like a,
foot?
Just a picture of a foot.
Yeah, he's going to hang up on you.
I know. It's going to be worth it.
If that asshole comes to San Diego with us, we can
stop by his booth and
be like, I'll pay for you to ask Rob Liefeld to just draw you a foot.
I should take him. I should take him my Conan sketchbook.
Yes, exactly.
I should take my Conan sketchbook, put it, give him the money, and be like,
"Dude, that'd be amazing.
I need a drawing of Conan's foot."
I guarantee you,
he'd be like, "Get the fuck away from my fudge." Yeah. Sorry, he's super Christian. Get the fudge away from my table.
I bet he'd say fuck.
No, I don't think so.
He's super Christian.
Yeah,
I watched an Image documentary. I would have never guessed that.
Oh,
yeah. Did he find religion?
I think
afterwards?
That's kind of like a new thing. Like he's
now that he's got all that Deadpool money. He's like, thank you, Jesus.
He's like, oh, I'm so rich from dick jokes. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds. Holy fuck. Fudge.
I need you to commit to San Diego Comic-Con.
I need you to commit to nothing. I have no idea what my work is going to be like
Buddy.
Over the 2 months. Like,
ICE is going to be there.
Yeah.
Bring a driver's license.
What's crazy is like my entire plant is Mexicans and Somalians. Like we would be so fucking screwed. it'll be like four white guys and me. I'm like, I pass. I've got a driver's license.
I worked at a restaurant in Arizona. We worked at a hotel and I came in one day and this is a high school job. And I come in, I'm like,
where is everybody?
Where the fuck is everybody? And I see like, not just like my manager, but like the general manager of like the whole entire hotel food staff washing dishes. And I'm like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, immigration came through. We lost about 60% of our staff.
That totally happened to a village inn that I was working at when I was like 15. Like these two cop guys came in and they basically asked everybody to like go outside. We all went outside and they went down the line. All right, I need you and you and you and you and you. You all come with me. And they like arrested like 3/4 of the staff. Like, fucking suck.
Yeah, my manager was like,
Armando had 3 social security cards for the record. So, like,
which one do you need? Which one?
Yeah, is this one good? Yeah. Run that number.
I remember I was in the office with the manager when he was doing some extra paperwork he had to do, and I think this is why the raid happened is because he had to turn in some paperwork that corporate needed that he didn't have. And he literally said to the manager, which one of these do you need? Like, which social security card is the one that's on record? And the manager's like, what do you mean, which one do I need? He's all, well, I have 2 social security numbers because there was some mistake. I was like, shut up. Stop talking. You're going to go to jail. That's not a mistake that happens. America's stupid. It's not that stupid.
It's not a real thing.
Like they make mistakes on like your paycheck.
Right.
That was the other thing. This is so amazing. He would work 40 hours.
This is so amazing. He got deported.
No, he did get deported, but he would work 40 hours and then clock out and then clock in as a different person and work for 40 more hours.
Wow.
But all right. Last bit of news.
That was amazing, Gabe.
Quick story. Iron Fist trailer, Final Defenders trailer.
It looks a lot like Green Arrow.
See, that's the first thing that I thought, right up here. There are super similar plot lines,
a lot
though.
Like,
who came first? Green Arrow,
Green
I would
Arrow.
Assume.
Green Arrow.
Yeah, Green Arrow's been around since like 41.
41.
Yeah.
42, somewhere
same
around
as Aquaman.
There.
75 years.
We're not talking about Aquaman.
I don't care. I'm going to talk about Aquaman, so get ready, bitch.
John is always talking
about
Aquaman.
I got fucking news.
Nudes?
Yes.
If you have Jason Momoa nudes, I have a wife that would be interested.
Yeah, I have a wife that would be interested, too. And I might be a little interested myself.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little interested. And by a little, I mean it's little.
All of it. But you like the Iron Fist trailer?
Yeah, it looked good. I mean, I dig those characters. I was telling Juan and Doyle on the way up, you know, when I was a kid, Power Man and Iron Fist was one of those, like one of the comics that I kind of passively read. You know, I'd see it at the grocery store and be like, oh, yeah, cool. But
versus aggressively read? Like,
well, no, like. No, like Power.
It's too mainstream.
Yeah, that's so true. Much fisting and punching.
So no, like Power.
I don't know
Man
what aggressive.
Power Man and Iron Fist is like something that I would just randomly pick up. You slayed the whole room.
Yes.
Nobody can breathe.
Achievement unlocked.
No, like whereas like Ghost Rider, I was waiting for the next episode.
No, I know
to
what
come
you're
out.
Talking about. I just had to make it. It is awesome.
I just because
I've never
clarify.
Seen
anybody. You seem
I've
really
never seen
confused.
Anybody aggressively read anything. Clearly, that's the opposite of passively reading.
It's true. It's true. The next 3 minutes of laughing brought to you by John
at Hall of Justice Comics in Parker, Colorado.
Come get fisted
with what?
Power Man? Come get iron fisted with Power Man. Seriously, we gotta find like a 50-cent comic in here.
Yeah.
That I can buy
oh, I can
from
get
you
one right now.
So that I can aggressively read
and we need a video
on Facebook
shit.
Live.
I'll find you a power. Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll do that at break.
We'll do that on a break.
I'm really excited now.
So that looked good. Like the Iron Fist trailer looks good. I agree with you. Doyle agrees with you. Totally looked like Green Arrow.
I didn't even see the connection until you said it earlier today. I don't know why.
I mean, the reality is
rich kid falls out of a plane and then learns martial arts and then goes back to the city.
The reality is they're effectively the exact same plot line.
I know, me too. I'm like, is this Arrow season? What season are we
why
on?
Are they recasting Green Arrow?
What the fuck?
Redoing
is that
origin.
Speedy? He's got curly hair.
God damn it, Flash.
That dude is the shit in Game of Thrones, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
So what character
he's coming
is he playing
to,
in Game of
he's
Thrones?
Coming
he played Loras. He was the Knight of Flowers.
Okay, yeah. God, I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, he's, God, what's his house name? I can't remember.
I know.
Tyrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the gay brother to the queen.
Right.
So he's actually really good in the show.
Dude, yeah, I remember his character in Game of Thrones. I just didn't even recognize that that's who that was.
Yeah, that's who it is. So.
I don't watch Game of Thrones, and I had a guy come and order a bunch of these. Dark Horse makes these like little statue things. Yeah. They're not expensive. They're like $25. But he's like, can you just tell me all of the ones that are available? I don't know how to pronounce any of these fucking names. I'm like, it was horrible. So Dan, the guy that helps me on
Did
Tuesday,
he
he's like,
you every time?
It's Danneries! Or whatever.
Dan Reeves. It's Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves from Game of Thrones.
I think it's Daenerys.
Whatever. See, I don't fucking know.
I'm trying to get him caught up on it. Him season one.
He lent me season
one.
Reason
why
it's really good.
It.
Like it's
Jason Momoa.
Yeah. And boobs.
Like, I'm in.
And boobs.
Yeah. A lot of boobs.
Culture I hear a lot of awesome. Rape, too.
It is. It can
that.
Get a little hear, rapey. Yeah. It's super murdery, too.
All things.
So
I like.
going back a little bit to the Castlevania, they said
I read all of the
in the
Boundless comics.
In the
aggressively.
Oh, titties! Yes.
Everybody that's wearing headphones is dead right now. You know, the first time people are like, God damn it! And then they put their headphones back on, and they're like, son of a bitch! Like,
he did it again.
Fucking guy.
He did it again and just go, oh, titties, that's so hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need you to do a velociraptor. God,
fuck you. Stop yelling at me.
It's because you keep stepping.
I'm sorry.
Can you just scream velociraptor rape?
I've got very aggressive feet over here. Fucking.
Your feet are like, oh, my stand. I feel like my throat would hurt after yelling like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does a little. That's good. We'll be fine.
Did it, like, am oh, I the, I feel like I'm the only person that brought notes this
They week. Cast Black Manta! That was my Aquaman news.
And Marika's like, three strikes, you're out at yelling.
Damn it. She's going to leave us a review.
Fucking stop yelling.
I didn't touch anything this time.
You got a limp microphone.
You got a little fucking flathead or something?
Yeah, right here.
It's in my ass.
Yes. You can't get it in your tight ass pants.
You noticed.
I did. Looks like steamed vegetables.
I'm trying to incur my own ball clap bell clapper syndrome.
What does that mean, steamed vegetables?
I don't know. That's weird. What kind of euphemism is that?
Somebody's so unfamiliar with steamed vegetables. I think that's what they look like.
Mister, I don't fucking eat vegetables ever.
Juan, vegetables don't look like a dick in jeans. No.
I mean, a carrot does, maybe.
But you slice little, fucking carrots.
Little baby carrot.
Little baby. Little one of those little nubbies. Steamed.
Oh, man.
My
you
pants
got
are steamy right now.
Nahuzi?
Who's Black Manta?
I don't know what his name is. He's from a show, though.
No, like, who is Black Manta?
I didn't have that question.
Doyle, you're out.
That was amazing. No, like, seriously, though. So, what's John's favorite comic book character?
Superior Namor.
So who's Black?
Superior Namor.
So who's Black? Oh wait, yeah. So you know right that there. You know that Doyle's a huge Namor fan. Okay,
yeah, exactly. That was a dig for the Black Manta.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, I actually don't know who Black Manta is. It was like half joke, half,
half question.
He's all. I'm gonna play it off as a joke because I don't want to look dumb. I do that this whole show.
I know he has like the oblong.
Fucking stupid looking helmet.
The laser beam eyes. Yeah.
But I know nothing about him.
For those of you who can't hear Tim Husky's amazing one-liners, he referenced that Black Manta looks like Hey Arnold from Nickelodeon.
When he takes his helmet off.
Or Stewie.
Oh, fuck.
Stewie from Family Guy. He's just got a fucking football for a head. What does Black Manta's head look like under the helmet?
He's just a black guy.
Oh,
he's actually a black guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that is kind of racist.
No, it's not.
Just call him Manta.
Black Lightning, Black Panther, those aren't racist.
No, it's a little
God
racist.
Damn it.
I mean, do you...
I'm not Brown Doyle, Brown.
Well,
White Mike.
Yeah, they are.
White Mike over here.
White Mike. White power.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible.
You're taking it back. You don't mean it.
Right.
You don't mean it.
Exactly.
Racist.
Little porch monkeys.
You're just like, I feel like white is a really powerful color.
Yeah.
How are you doing, you little porch monkey?
Oh, it's okay. I'm taking it back.
He has it written on the back of his shirt.
There's a little piece of news. Kevin Smith just is doing another Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Fuck yes. That. There was two pieces of bad news embroiled with the good news.
Because
he can't do Clerks 3, and nobody's buying Mallrats. No,
which is
no
bullshit.
Series
like,
is about Mallrats.
How has Netflix not just said, please, for the love of God, make a Netflix Mallrats
show? I don't
know. Show.
Well, because I guess with Clerks 3, said one of the big stars dropped out.
Right.
They didn't say, I'm guessing it's Randall. Because Randall is supposed to be Jason Lee's character in Mallrats, but he dropped out because he wanted more money after Clerks. That he was going to be a big star. That's the only thing I could think of.
Kevin Smith movies make so much money.
Right. and have such great critical reviews.
I think Clerks 2 made a good amount of money. That's probably
the only one. But that's like Clerks 2 and Mallrats are like his big hits.
Right.
He makes his money on the video market.
Yeah.
Right.
Now he makes his money directing everything.
Like, I really feel like Netflix needs to pick up the Mallrats series and do that, because Mallrats has that, like, Netflix or, like, Hulu. Like, the Hulu shows have been, like, really amazing, too, lately.
Better.
Yeah.
You even brought up a good point where Hulu just picks like the weirdest shows.
Yeah.
And Mall Rats to me seems like a Hulu show.
Van Damme.
Oh my god, dude, that show.
I haven't seen
that.
You were telling us about that.
Yeah, it is freaking amazing.
When so like my wife watches a lot of the Hulu shows, and so I end up watching them like while I read books and stuff. But like just
hey babe, I need you to fucking watch one of those movies
because I got a lot of comic books to read right now. But like I started watching The Path. That show's fucking insane,
That's
dude.
That's a great show. I
dude,
love
like
that.
The so it's like about this crazy cult, right? And like the cult leader is infatuated with like one of the little cultist ladies, but he can't have sex with her because if he gets her pregnant, like it'll fuck up everything. And I haven't seen the whole first season, yeah. So I'm sure they eventually. But so he tells her to fall in love with another guy and have sex with him. And so she does, and there's this scene where he like jerks off onto her while she's telling him about the sex she had with another guy and how she was imagining that it was him. I was like, what is going on right now? This is the weirdest fucking show.
I kind of want to try that.
Then all the assholes that call me a cuck would be right, but...
It's not the green chili, Joe.
It's different. It's different.
But with green chili.
Yeah, so that was – I was kind of mad at that announcement.
Yeah.
Apparently, he totally owns Jay and Silent Bob, those characters. So he could do whatever he wants with them, but he doesn't the other shit.
All I care about is Moose Jaws. I need that movie
I'm pretty
to
excited for Moose Jaws.
No, Jay and Silent Bob are in Moose Jaws.
Yeah.
Because fucking – Yoga Hosers was fucking hilarious.
I thought it was funny.
I don't give a shit what anybody says. That movie was so fucking funny.
It's
like
the only Kevin Smith movie I haven't seen.
Same here. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. And it's, look, like, it's clearly made for a younger audience. Like, it's clearly
made for teenage girls.
But holy shit, it's fucking hilarious. And, like, watching it with Bailey, my favorite part, and I knew, like, I actually, he never messaged me back, but I messaged Kevin Smith about it because I thought it would make him happy and he would maybe come be on our show, which I fucked up. I get it.
Twice now.
So, as we were watching it, Bailey's watching the movie with us, and like the two girls are interacting with each other and being hilarious and whatever. And my daughter goes, "Holy shit, it's me and my best friend Alyssa." I was like, nailed it. Kevin Smith nailed it. He made the movie exactly for the people he wanted to make the movie for. And my daughter fucking loves that movie and wants to move to Canada.
I want to move to Canada.
Yeah. So does like every fucking Mexican in this country.
I went to Canada once and they were mean to me.
Was it just like a cop?
It was the border people going into Canada.
Was a cop, exactly.
What are you doing in Canada? I just want to spend a day in Vancouver. That's
no
it.
Reason.
It's definitely not because I'm transporting cocaine in my ass.
And I went into Mexico that same trip. Nobody looked at us. We just went right in.
Mexican.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't ask about the white lady.
Nobody looked at me going out either. There was three,
what are you doing with her?
Two white ladies.
Why are you with a white lady? No reason.
There's nobody at the borders looking at anybody coming in.
That I don't think that's entirely true.
I promise you. I've been to Mexico a lot, buddy.
Buddy,
dude.
Come on. You're only half, so you've never been there. I told
you,
remember? You're
twice.
A pocho. Remember?
I know, but I've been there.
So, the guy who plays Black Manta, his name is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II.
That's racist.
Yaha!
Best known for his role as Cadillac on the Netflix series The Get Down.
Never seen him before.
So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, what's Black?
Get down,
what's,
like it.
Huh?
It's that. Who's his name? It's, Baz Luhrmann or whatever.
Yeah, it's about. It's like about hip hop, but it's like done as a musical.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's like in the same vein as like Moulin Rouge,
where it's like kind of like upbeat modern musical kind
gotcha.
Of thing. So,
okay. So tell us a little bit about Black Manta. I don't know nothing about him except
Aquaman's
for he's Aquaman's main villain.
Main villains, Ocean Master and Black Manta. Ocean Master is his half-brother, who they cast as Patrick Wilson, I think. The guy who played Night Owl in Watchmen is going to be Ocean Master. And then Black Manta is this other bad guy.
Okay, so I think what Juan is saying
he have,
is like
he's like a pirate. He like runs around stealing shit. blowing shit up, but he like
so like
depending on origin stories in the current series, it turns out Aquaman killed Black Manta's dad, and so Black Manta wants revenge because Arthur killed his dad.
Oh, okay.
So, but does he have powers, or is he just like
got a scuba
like
suit,
a pirate?
And he's got, you know, minions, and he's a pirate, and he's got a big fucking helmet that he shoots laser beams.
Now,
out
Ocean
his
Master
out.
Does Ocean Master have powers?
Yeah, he's Atlantean, so he's just like Aquaman, but he's 100% Atlantean, where Aquaman is half human, half Atlantean.
You can call him a half breed; it's okay.
So Aquaman's a bastard.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's why it's interesting to see what origin story they go with for the movie, because depending, again, you know, a character that's been around for 75 years has
already
a million fucking origins.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Fuck you, Gabe.
I'm kidding.
I don't know anything about Aquaman, so.
Yeah, neither do I.
One of the reasons that he was banished to a lighthouse in Maine was because he had blonde hair and blue eyes, and everybody in Atlantis has purple eyes, and they saw that as a bad omen. So they fucking kicked him out. And he was raised by a lighthouse keeper. So he doesn't have blonde hair or blue eyes in the movie. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with his origin story.
Maybe they'll be like,
he's just fucking Jason Momoa.
Since you're super buff, we have to kick you out.
Jason
Momoa
doesn't have blonde hair or blue eyes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't know where they're going to go with the origin story from the movie.
So did you see the picture of him with his two security guards?
Yes.
Like a foot shorter.
It's amazing.
Than him.
The underbosses to fight the main mini bosses. It's awesome.
It's so great.
I'm surprised you didn't. Did you watch the Stranger Things 2 trailer?
Yes. So it's just like a teaser.
It was
trailer.
Like a 30-second thing.
Actually, a trailer, or is it just the text still?
No,
there's like a
thing.
There's like
a.
It was a Super Bowl commercial. It's like
I watched the Super Bowl. I was like, that was working. So.
It's like a 45-second teaser.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
It just has some little glimpses. It shows the kids dress up as the Ghostbusters, which looks awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
and then it shows this giant fucking monster-looking thing
coming out of like the ground.
I
and
keep
stuff.
Telling people, if you like Stranger Things, you've got to read Paper Girls.
Absolutely, it's very similar.
Especially seeing the new trailer, it's like, fuck, that's like straight out of the Paper Girls comic.
I'm stoked about it. I want to see.
We just opened up a copyright lawsuit.
No. It's not because Paper Girls is girls.
It's girls that are also paper.
Stranger Things is mostly boys.
Dudes with 11.
And Paper Girls deals with some weird time traveling and ultimate.
Yeah.
Well, there's that
ultimate
does sound good.
Stranger Things. You haven't read Paper Girls?
No.
Oh, dude.
I'll give you. I've got a damaged trade. You should read.
It's really good. Like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's good.
I dig it.
Yep.
All right. You got news?
That was my. Let me see if I have anything else, John. What do you got? Anything?
I haven't seen it, but Justice League Dark just came out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I heard
it. And
was
I heard
good.
It's really good.
I get mine on tomorrow.
I gotta go get mine tonight.
I'm excited to borrow somebody's copy of it and watch it.
Yeah.
Nice. You guys.
I'm interested to know what you guys think about it, because I have seen it, and like it is good, but something about the animation like makes the darkness of it fall short.
Gotcha.
And especially like the ending, like once you go see like the end fight. Just seems not epic to me, but it was overall good. Like, I liked it as far as animation goes. DC, I think they did pretty well at that. But
that sounds like a DC movie, though. The final fight is like really like unepic.
But it's also just like you lose, like the beginning of it. You know, it's just like there's like a lot of demonic shit going on, but it's not that
scary
because it's animated. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, they're not gonna make that movie for real, but.
No, they're going to do a lot. Yeah, it's
we actually
it's called Dark
we actually
Universe.
Had an argument about this the last episode.
it goes back and forth. Like it'll be on again, off again, but it sounds like it is like officially getting
well,
done
got,
now.
Well,
so
I shouldn't say. Well, they got a director, so it's on because DC's directors like there's no tomorrow.
It's because they don't know how to fucking make movies.
You think Ben Affleck will end up being in the Batman movie?
In the Batman movie?
Yeah,
I hope so
because he's talked like. Kind of about how if they don't clean up the script and like
well see and I read something that
he
they
wrote
just
the fucking script
right
I know like that's what I'm saying
so
like
he's like I wrote a shitty script
yeah like there's all sorts of like weird drama revolving around Ben Affleck as Batman like
well,
I feel because
he thinks he's fucking the shit and he wants to do everything he wanted to direct it write it and star in it
I mean he did win an Academy Award
so what at some point just be Batman let somebody else do everything else you
know. That's a little piece of news. They actually picked a director. I read it yesterday. It's Matt Reeves, the guy. He's doing the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yes.
I don't think he did the first one. I think he did the
second one
and this one. He did one other movie,
yeah,
too.
I can't remember what
Dude, Planet of the Apes is the shit. Those are fucking
Gabe's
awesome.
Gabe's in.
Gabe's in?
I'm in for that if that guy's directing it. Oh, I fucking love Planet of the Apes.
I guess Warner Brothers.
That new one looks fucking amazing. Right
now, so.
Could you imagine if you were Ben Affleck though and you made a terrible Daredevil movie and a terrible.
Just kill yourself.
Nobody would ever, like, literally no one would ever speak to you again.
Just
like,
kill yourself.
Please stop destroying my childhood, son of a bitch.
See, Kevin Smith suggested George Miller. I was like, oh, that would have been so badass. Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of people wanting Kevin Smith to do it.
Yeah.
He'd been terrible at it.
He says himself that he'd be terrible at it.
I love Kevin Smith, but I don't.
Because that's not the kind of movie he really makes. No. Like, he makes either really weird movies or really, like, dorky movies.
Well, and that's why he's good at directing one-shot episodes, because they know he's going to do it, and they can kind of gear it towards him.
It can be funny, or it can be just kind of like a weird one-off thing, and that's okay.
I could see him directing, like, because he originally was supposed to do Green Hornet. I could still see him doing something like that, or I know he says he wants to do The Question. I could see him doing...
Oh, that'd be really cool.
I could see him doing a smaller... character, they're not going to give him a tentpole character at all.
No, they want him to go to... He wants to go to Green Arrow, but they're talking about, if he does that, bringing on Onomatopoeia, which would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty
bang.
Cool.
Bang.
Bane?
No, bang.
Oh.
That's what Onomatopoeia does.
I thought you said... I thought you said Bane.
He does Bane. Suck. He doesn't know what the fuck.
Because that would be hilarious. Because then Kevin Smith could do his Bane impression.
That
would
be awesome if Neil Adams did an episode of Arrow. See, pretty much.
I wonder if he likes the show.
I listened to a podcast he did with Kevin Smith, and he said he likes the show. He just wishes Green Arrow would smile. Because it's so, like... Arrow, to me, is essentially... They wanted to do a Batman TV show without doing a Batman TV show.
Right.
If you look at Green Arrow, he fights... Ra's al Ghul. He's fighting all these Deathstroke. He's fighting all these Batman villains because they want a Batman TV show without really putting Batman on.
Oh, he directed Cloverfield.
His parents died. Stuff like that.
And he's a billionaire playboy.
Did Iron Fist's parents also die?
And yes. Also yeah.
But they were killed in a plane accident. Come on.
In the mountains. Not in a back alley. Not on a boat. Totally different story.
Fucking billionaire playboys, man.
He learns martial arts in a totally different place.
Right, not from the League of Assassins.
Billionaire playboys are there in this universe.
Right?
And how can they not start linking them to...
Well, and like, why can't a billionaire playboy now die with his parents or have his parents die and then go be fucking Iron Fist or Batman or something?
Maybe Trump's kid will do it.
Maybe.
Oh.
Nope.
Maybe.
Well, maybe there's a chance Baron.
He'll be Deathstroke, maybe.
Well, Baron. Well, no, Baron has the perfect name to be a superhero.
Yeah.
Baron Trump.
Trump would have to die first, which
I am perfectly comfortable with that. I'm not going to say I'm actively
pursuing
that. I
don't condone
that.
It, but you know.
I'm not saying go do that, whoever has the means and ability. I'm not saying
we gotta
that.
Be careful because the SS is going to come shut us down.
No. See, yeah, Secret Service. I'm just saying, like, I'm comfortable with Baron Trump becoming a superhero by any means necessary.
Fuck the TOTLD podcast. Yeah. Those guys are giving alternate facts.
There. Huge assholes. Yeah.
So
huge.
Never been funny.
Yeah.
So
bunch of ass clowns.
Sad. So. My piece of advice when Donald Trump went after John Lewis, sales of March went through the fucking roof. So I posted, I was like, hey, if you're an indie comic maker, for the love of God, go make fun of Donald Trump because he's going to call you out and you're going to sell the shitload of your comic books.
I'm amazed they never went after a Satan Sodomy, or what is it,
Sodomy Baby.
Too?
Yeah. And Eric Powell.
Did you read that
one?
You gotta read that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, they show they come out one point when Trump, his album, Trump, Rupert Murdoch, and I think Dick Cheney, they come out with their pants off and their dicks are like
tiny
super,
penises.
Super small. Like, look at how huge we are.
Yeah.
And then you see him take Rupert Murdoch's dick in his mouth. He's like, look, I'm gagging on it. It's so big.
Oh my God, I gotta read that.
I got nothing else as far as news goes.
Tandy Newton from Westworld is in talks to join the Han Solo prequel film for Star Wars.
And
she might be
who's the guy
Han Solo's wife?
Who's
the
guy? Solo prequel film?
Yes.
Yeah, young Han Solo.
And the guy that learns or that learns the guy that
were
teaches...
you at work all the time or what?
Yeah, a lot of the time.
I
He has a very similar schedule to me, which is come to work, never go home.
I get one day off a month.
And you came to this bullshit? What is wrong with you?
This is what I do at work all fucking day.
Yeah. That and watch internet porn.
So, cars. Who's the...
Got a whole office full of people around me.
Lando. The guy from... No, God, shut
Greedo.
Up.
I'm going to talk to you instead.
Okay. Who's the guy from Zombieland that's like...
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson is supposed to be the guy that... I know, that's going to be training
Han
Solo.
That's just weird that he's going to be in a Star Wars movie.
I think that's a good...
Wait,
I think that's a good cast.
What is Han Solo being trained as?
A smuggler.
Don't you just like...
Aren't you just a smuggler?
Somebody has to, aren't you
born into that?
People don't just like become criminals. Someone teaches them how to be a criminal.
I know a lot of dudes who just became criminals.
Well, they're in jail because they got caught.
Yeah, but they're in jail. Nobody taught them how to do it right.
Han Solo still, well, he's dead now. But he was a man.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Do coyotes go through training?
Probably.
To smuggle people?
Yeah, they got to learn the roads and shit. Yeah.
You don't just like, hey, I got a bus. Let's go.
I got a bus.
They don't do that. Shit in buses.
You think Pablo Escobar just woke up and said, let's just shove cocaine up our asses, let's go.
Someone taught him how to tie the balloon.
Man, Carissa watches that Queen of the South show. That fucking show is crazy.
So is Narcos.
Is it?
I heard that was really good.
It's really good.
It's all in Spanish, so I have to like, I can't do anything in the background because I have to read the subtitles the whole entire time.
Would like, you aggressively read the subtitles? Like, four times.
See, at this point, though, somebody hears you say aggressively, and they're
I'll have to put a fucking warning.
When you hear the
when
word
you
aggressive,
hear aggressive.
Bing!
Take your headphones off.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Like a little bing. Take your headphones off now. Like a half a second of silence and then.
I do aggressively listen to the show because you guys will be thinking of an actor and you won't know his name or director.
And you're like,
it's
like,
fucking Martin Scorsese! fucking Martin Scorsese! Jesus fucking Christ!
I need another bing there.
People are just driving past me while I'm in my truck, like, God damn it, it's not that hard.
That white guy is so full of rage.
I know.
He's going to murder someone.
Who cut him off? Oh, man.
I get like that. I'll be listening to a podcast.
Clearly a Trump supporter. He's in his car screaming.
Juan does it the most, though, because if you talk about
I'm horrible with names. Fucking horrible with names.
I'm like, sir. Danny Glover. Fucking Danny Glover. Say Danny. Somebody for the love of God.
He's calling in.
Yeah. Danny Damn it. Fucking Glover.
He's calling in to tell us. You're like, what are you wearing? See you,
Danny Glover. Fucking skin suit of Danny Glover.
It put the lotion on his skin. Wore that huge beard.
Did you guys hear about last bit of news? Marvel comic book news. Marvel's going to reboot all of their stuff and take a less...
Wait, yeah. What?
What?
Marvel reboots every fucking year?
So Rocket Raccoon, that has a new fucking series, it's on issue number 2, is going to go to 4 issues, and then it's going to get reset.
Yeah.
To number 1.
Are they doing
fuck
like
that.
I heard they're doing like an actual like Marvel rebirth.
They're calling it...
Rebirth.
Re-now.
Is it Marvel born again?
Tentatively what they're calling
that is
re-now.
Awful.
I know.
Because I heard that what they were
at least
do...
call it renew, which is an actual fucking word.
Right. I heard they're going to bring Thor back. They're going
to
bring
yeah,
Tony Stark
they're supposed
back.
To.
Peter Parker is going to become more yeah. Spider-Man.
A kid
again?
I don't know.
Just make new good comics. That's I.
Agreed.
It seems weird, but.
what a concept, right?
Image and Dark Horse have managed to pull it off. Yeah. Like,
maybe you
wouldn't it be Thor fucked Horse. Up if they started The Walking Dead all over again?
I would be so pissed off.
That's awesome.
Walking Dead reboot. Fuck you. I'm out, Robert Kirkman.
I have nothing.
So.
With the Marvel thing, because I was talking about it on the group the other day. I brought it up. I was like, you know, I flipped through a previews guide. DC, it's the same characters from 20, 25 years ago, I recognize. Granted, their costumes are different. Maybe a little few things are different here or there.
Plot twists, yeah.
Yeah, but Marvel, I opened up, and I'm like, why the fuck is old? Why is Wolverine so old? Wait, why is there a female Wolverine? Where's the normal yellow and blue Wolverine? Where's Cyclops? Where's Jean Grey? And then it's just like... Where the fuck's Thor? Who's Iron Man?
So I think part of the problem is, like, it's okay to, like, reinvent stuff. It's okay to, like, kind of rework the wheel. Like, you see,
buddy, you're close.
There's been different Batmans. Like, there's been Batman Beyond. There's been, you know, Year 100 Batman. It's okay to, like, do that and reinvent characters and stuff. Where I think Marvel goes off the rail is they try so aggressively to do that across the board that they make it so that their brand is often unrecognizable to, like, the passive reader. And it's really off-putting, I think, for a lot of people, where it's exactly, you know, hey, where's my blue and yellow Wolverine?
Yeah.
There's no, like, comic catering to that. It's just across the board, here's all the crazy shit.
Well, what John and I were talking about was, like, everybody loved Old Man Logan. So they're like, cool, let's just make Old Man Logan our main Wolverine. It would be like everybody loves Red Sun Superman. If they go, well, fuck it, let's just get rid of normal Superman, just put in Red Sun Superman and call it good.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like Marvel's kind of done. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get more minorities. They're trying to, like, hey, we got Miles Morales.
They're
hey,
trying
we-
to appeal to more people, but as a consequence, they're, like, ignoring, like, their base, well, yeah, like, why followers.
Why not just make a whole nother series?
They're just making
series.
Comic books and putting minorities in them.
Like, that is true.
Yeah.
Because, like, the reality is I don't want to see, like, I don't want to see Iron Man be a teenage black girl because I'm irritated that it's a teenage black girl. I want to see her be a new character and there still be an Iron Man.
Like, I was telling you, like,
be creative instead of trying to reinvent
Marvel,
it.
Like, got the Vision run because it was fucking amazing, and then they do nothing else like it. It's
right.
Like the super awesome book that you have that stand out, that's nothing like the rest of your stuff. From what I understand, everybody loved it.
Yep.
That read it. And then you just do nothing else like that.
Right. You know what it was like? You know what else was like that? Hawkeye. The David Aja Hawkeye. Yep. Is fucking amazing. It had kind of a short run, and then it was gone, and they never did anything with it. It's like, lame. Or
Because the mouse is looking at sales numbers. I mean, that's what it is.
Fucking
it's
mouse.
Fucking mouse. I really do. I really think that's what it is. I don't know.
But every time they reinvent, they lose sales. Like, every time they reboot and reinvent.
But they don't, because everybody comes in here and buys the fucking number ones, even if it's not number one, even if it's number 15 number one.
But they don't, but they buy the number one and then they'd stop.
Exactly.
Like,
so they get those immediate sales, but nothing long-term.
They're trying to get the speculation market, but they're ignoring, like, the regular market. Like,
so what's wrong with having your regular Iron Man run and then just having Riri, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
And then just having her in an Iron Man
nothing,
in a different
nothing.
Comic
That's
book.
What I'm saying.
That's what,
like,
they're doing with Avengers. So there's Avengers, which is like the new, all new, all different Avengers team that's got Jane as Thor and it's got Sam Wilson as Captain America. But then they have the Avengers Point One, which is like old school Avengers with Thor and Hulk and
right.
Captain America and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. That's perfect. Do that for all of the stuff.
Or and like, if you want to get minorities, like,
and I think that's what they're kind of trying to do with this new quote unquote reboot.
See, and that's well, I don't really give a fuck if you put. That's the thing about this weird push. Like, I don't need
but you
to
don't
see
have
brown
that.
People in everything. Like, just make a character cool, and I'll fucking read it or watch
see,
it or do whatever
that's
it needs
kind of
to be done.
You're Speedy Gonzalez into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. No, that's Warner Brothers, though. That's
only if we get a Slowpoke reference.
Yeah, I want Slowpoke.
No, Speedy.
He's like the most racist part of that, but yeah. I like Slowpoke.
One of my favorite Speedy Gonzalez ones is he keeps running people across the border from Sylvester's the Border Patrol.
Awesome.
You could not get away with that cartoon anymore. People would be so fucking
oh my
pissed
God,
off.
It's so funny. Because I think what it is the cheese factories on the United States side, so Speedy keeps running and grabbing cheese.
Right.
So the two crows are on the fence watching.
Yeah, and it's Lopez Rodriguez.
Awesome.
I just don't need to see me, and I don't need.
You don't need a comic book about
I don't
you.
Don't
need to see
I don't.
You in a comic
I
book.
I don't.
Do you have an issue like what DC did, where they took Wally West and they made him a black guy, or like
I
even how the Supergirl TV show took Jimmy Olsen and made him a black guy?
They just shove it down your throat, which is what I feel like.
I think they're doing what Doyle is doing. Was saying
that Supergirl TV show, which is a girl power thing anyway, and then they girl powered the fuck out of it. It's unwatchable. I was like, she is a superhero that is a girl. That's girl.
But like my 12-year-old or 10-year-old daughter fucking loves that show, so that's fine.
Girls who love comics who don't like it either, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure it has its own market.
I swear to God, like the Supergirl show was completely designed for like really young girls, like 10 to 12 year old girls.
I like Supergirl.
It's a perfect example.
Yeah. I'm okay with Supergirl.
It's right in there with My Little Pony.
I like Martian Manhunter, though.
I only watched like
I'm a big fan of Martian Manhunter.
Cut it off, so it might have gotten better.
I heard it did.
I heard it gets like episode 8, episode 9 is where really in the first season where
I don't have the patience to give a TV show 8 episodes.
Yeah. I just don't need it. To me it feels like you're
tomorrow. I couldn't get into it. I heard it's good now.
I think it's good too actually.
I watched the whole first season and dropped that off.
I think you're pandering if you just do it. If you're just putting colored people or minorities in things to put them in things, then I think you're just pandering at that point.
Fucking colored.
Well, whatever. People. I'm colored. I'm brown. I don't know.
White.
Yeah.
That's a color.
Yeah.
Or absence of color.
Yeah, you're kind of more pink than you are.
Fuck
white.
You,
see, now, but if it's like a natural extension
brown
of the storyline,
right, then
it
doesn't
sense,
matter.
It's totally
right.
cool. Like, Miles Morales, Spider-Man's a really good example. He was part of the Ultimate Universe.
Probably, I hear a lot of people like it better than normal Spider-Man.
I do, significantly. It's a different universe. It's a different thing. It wasn't like, hey, look at the Hispanic Spider-Man. It was just, here's a new version of Spider-Man. This is who he happens to be. And as a consequence, it's really good. Whereas, like you're saying, they're kind of pounding you over the head. Let's do this to prove to you that we're inclusive of everyone. You don't need to prove it. Like, comic books have been inclusive of everyone for a really long time. I mean, for fuck's sake, X-Men is like... X-Men in the 90s was clearly like a meditation on the gays and like civil rights, like across the board, like forever. You're fine. Like, Storm is a huge part of the X-Men. She's a black lady. You don't need to prove to me that she's a black lady. She just is. Like,
she's from Africa, even.
I know. Like, Black Panther, same deal. Like, he's a fucking king of a nation on top of being a superhero. Like, or prince. Is he king or prince?
He was a prince.
Okay. In the Marvel cinematic, he's the king now.
And I think what's more effective, what Marvel did with Black Panther by having Ta-Nehisi Coates write it, is more effective than forcing a minority character into the comic book. Taking somebody that's like a really good writer who's really active in writing about those kind of social issues and giving them that, instead of reinventing the wheel by making somebody different to fit into like this little niche, have somebody that writes well tackle that idea instead of like, hey, look at the all new, all different Iron Man saying, hey, we're going to let you write about the social issue that you want to write about. I mean, that's where you get stuff like Green Arrow, Green Lantern, where it's like super, super powerful because it was really well written. And they didn't have to make Green Arrow and Green Lantern black guys to make that work. They just said, here's the issue. We're going to bring up
situations.
We're going to bring up race. We're going to bring up drugs. We're going to bring up this. And we're going to cover that through good writing, not reinventing the wheel.
Right.
Like, that's what draws people into the comic books, is that they're good. If they're good, people read whatever the fuck you want to give them. If they're just, hey, look at our new, all black Marvel.
Right.
Like, people are just like, come on, guys. Like, we know what you're doing. We're not stupid.
I would love for them to call it that.
I'm not going to lie. I would buy that.
It's like the Marvel Apes thing.
I'm just saying.
I didn't say that.
Damn.
John said that.
Wow.
That's your tip. All new, all eighth Marvel.
Don't keep saying it.
DC did it too. They had the jail apes.
Oh, man. Nate, who doesn't listen.
Fuck that guy.
Thank you. He's been picking up Planet of the Apes Green Lantern. That book is fucking hilarious.
I think you got it for me. I haven't read it yet, but I think you put it in one of my earlier ones.
It's pretty cool. Like, it's a lot of fun.
It just came out like 2 weeks
ago. Oh, really?
Yeah.
The covers, so there, some of the alternate covers spoof the film, like the old Planet of the Apes movie covers. They're fucking amazing. I love it.
They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so
I got nothing else.
I don't have news, but I have. I was going to go through the stuff that I've been checking out, so that we can talk about that.
Okay, because we've been going for an hour and 30 minutes, so hurry your ass up.
Oh, whatever. You know this is going to be a long episode. So first, Matt, I didn't get a chance to make a video because when I make videos with my phone, there's no sound. So sorry. I have a new phone. I just haven't unlocked it yet. So I'm going to start off with Black Monday Murders and Black Hammer. Yeah. Like, Matt is very.
Is that a porno?
Yes.
Yes.
Matt is very interested in my opinion of it. Black Hammer is kind of cool. It's almost like Watchmen-esque, where it's kind of discussing, you know, the tropes of superheroes and whatever. I like it. It's not probably something I'll continue to actively read, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was fun. It's a good book. I love Lemire as a writer. Like, the writing's really strong. The art is pretty cool, too. I don't remember who does the art, but I really dug it.
Yeah, the first two issues I thought were really good, and then it's...
I read the first, like...
It's still good, but it is definitely...
It kind of loses steam. Like, it lost steam pretty quick, so...
Agreed.
Well, I mean, when the first trade comes out, I'll probably check it out from the library to get the whole 6-issue, you know...
I think you have them all.
Story arc. I might, yeah.
So you don't need to check the trade
well,
out.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
If you don't want to.
Black Monday Murders.
I'm just going to read it aggressively. I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going to do it. Just read the... Yeah. Read the library trades.
Yeah. Don't read.
Why are there pages missing?
Oh, no. That guy must have been reading it super aggressively. Black Monday Murders is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so it's about the world banking system and how it's being run by, like, these separate, like, satanic cults. And on top of, like, the comic book aspect of it, there's all these, like, journal entries and, like, file notes. There's, like, this whole, like, secret language that, like, is partially described but is never translated. And I feel like if I sat down long enough and worked on it, I could figure it out. Like, it seems that...
Or you can look at the internet.
Somebody's done it already.
It's done.
If somebody's figured out which of Ice Cube's days is the good days, somebody has translated that shit. Like, it's just really fucking cool. Like, it's really in-depth and...
Yeah, it is.
I'm just saying that's the depth of the internet. Somebody
people
figured out
like, well, Ice Cube.
So they know when Ice Cube's on
Triple Double. Well, no, I'll look it up when we're on break.
Yeah,
but this girl literally
it'll take it forever because there's no signal.
Here. When he rolled past the cops, and being
his fucking broke up phone can't get to the internet.
It's all internet. I barely have a screen. But Black Monday Murders is fucking amazing. Like, I'm really, really liking it. I know I dropped a bunch of stuff from my pool. That's one of the things I kept.
Thanks. You're not helping our friend at all anymore.
I can't. I have to. I gotta save monies. I gotta.
Not for San Diego Comic Con either.
Fuck you.
I'm honestly surprised you made it down here today.
I drove.
Okay.
Do you take care of your
way down? My wife has all my money.
For the record, she fucking loves that.
How many times can I fuck with this audio?
I had a guy drop Black Monday Murders because of the price point, which is weird.
Which is
like
weird because
it's $5 book.
But it's a giant book.
And it's got text to read.
It's big. Like, it's a thick book.
It's huge.
I mean, it's a large book. Like, it took me a while to read it.
Dude. Does it look even bigger in your tiny hands?
So many pages.
When I compare it to the size of my dick, like I do all of my comic
books.
And
there we go, full circle.
It's like gigantic.
It's like a treasury size.
It's like
holy shit.
Death book. Yeah. It's a fucking magazine.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
So when we had Christopher Hunt on last time, like, he kept talking about Paul Pope and then this book called Thomas Alsop, who he's working on a project with the guy that wrote that, whose name
is Miskevich.
Miskevich, thank you. So from the library, I picked One Trick Ripoff, which is a collection of Paul Pope's kind of like some of his side stuff, like his smaller stuff, and then this larger kind of graphic novel called One Trick Ripoff. Fucking amazing. Like, I've never really read or seen any of Paul Pope's stuff.
He's awesome.
It reminds me a lot of Day Tripper, like in that kind of like more meditative, you know, way of writing and drawing comic books. Really, really dug it. Thomas Alsop is very much like Hellblazer, like kind of like a New York Hellblazer.
Cool.
He is, I want to say he's called the Hand of Manhattan or something like that. And it's this... Yeah, he jerks off Manhattan, the whole island.
He's got to have a huge hand.
All at once.
Hold on.
Are we getting shot at or what?
So the way that...
I almost had to get down and shit.
It was the way I was recording so Trump knows what's going on.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Migra! Awesome. So the idea is the natives that lived on Manhattan Island had a shaman called the Hand, and he was the protector of Manhattan against all like dark and evil magic. Okay. And so when the European immigrants come over, they're like slaughtering the Indians, and the Hand passes on the title to Thomas Alsop's like great, great, great grandfather. And then it's this generational thing. And Thomas is like the fuck off, like drunkard, rock and roller, you know, son to the Hand of Manhattan. And he has a sibling that is like the up and, you know, the stand up, good one. But when his dad dies, the magic does, they don't choose the Hand. The magic chooses the Hand, and it chooses Thomas. And he's like this fuck up, and he's like constantly like raiding the hoard of like magic items to do jackass stuff. And like, he's kind of like this shitty person that's in charge of this really important job. And he has to kind of pull himself out of the I'm a fuck up and take his job seriously, because like serious stuff is starting to happen.
Nice.
So it's a cool book. Like, I read the first volume. I'm excited for the second volume. I'll be sure to read that too.
Did his billionaire parents die in a plane accident?
His rich father was murdered. Son, yes.
It was a moped accident. The planes and the boats have been done. We're going to go moped.
It was a pedicab in New York.
Train accident. Dude, we could totally write a comic book.
Yeah.
Billionaire rich boy's parents die in a train accident. His partner's billionaire parents died on a pedicab. I also picked up Corto Maltese. IDW is doing those giant treasury size editions of like European comics, and they had the volume 3 of Corto Maltese at the library. What's cool about them is that they're always standalone, where it's like this kind of contained story in each volume. If you're not familiar with that, it's kind of like Indiana Jones on a boat. Like, he's
all I know is that green
boat,
all I know is that Green Arrow was there.
Yeah.
That,
been there, done that.
It's a good time.
Corto Maltese is a Green Arrow t-shirt.
I read the first two volumes of Alex DeCampi's No Mercy.
What'd you think?
If you've seen Turistas, you've read No Mercy.
Okay.
Like, it's,
I liked Turistas.
But it's that story. Like, you know, kind of rich American kids go to Mexico. Right. Everything gets fucked up. Like, you know, a girl gets her eye eaten by a coyote. Like, you know, they're in a
what
bus.
What kind of coyote?
Like Wiley? Like,
yeah. Like,
he's like, fuck the Roadrunner. I'm going for this.
Like, not.
I'm
not,
fucking hungry.
Like dog coyote, not like.
Not transporting
illegal immigrants coyote, yeah.
Or Wiley.
Yeah, or Wiley. Fucking. I mean, it's.
Maybe Coyote is a fucking coyote. Yeah. You never know.
You never know. He does have that rocket backpack. He's all, just put this on. We'll get you on the other side of the border.
That's right. Can't guarantee your safety. But exactly.
There's a really good chance you're going to blow up like halfway over, but
it'll be, that one chance.
Yeah, you're fine. I mean, it's good. Alex DeCampi is really good at writing that like kind of over the top, like aggressively sexual, aggressively violent. You can make the aggressive noise if you want.
That's how you read it aggressively.
Like, I much prefer Grindhouse, because Grindhouse has that
so aggressive.
The campy like science fiction and like horror tropes and stuff like that. Right?
Oh, hey.
But it has that feel that I feel. It's more fun because it has space aliens,
right,
or a giant monster.
Not taking itself super
seriously.
It's not seriously.
Quite as serious. Because they're young kids, there's a lot of interaction that happens like on their cell phones and the internet and stuff. And that was kind of interesting. But in general, it was just kind of, that's all right. You know, it wasn't my favorite thing. It was good, but it wasn't my favorite. I probably would.
He says that kind of shit all the time.
Yeah.
Right? The band
trash
we had, that wasn't
that's
really my speed.
That's
it wasn't my style. I don't like it.
The stuff that you played for me, I liked. That's okay. So
he's not a very good interviewer.
That's not true.
He's a good interviewer. He just talks shit behind their back.
Yeah. And to
behind
their face.
I'm honest with people. I don't give a fuck what
they
think.
Your comic was garbage.
Well,
Where did you get the idea for it?
I've never told somebody their comic was garbage because yes. we've never interviewed anybody that truly has a garbage comic.
That would be spectacular, though.
Rob Liefeld, we'll have you on the show whenever you want.
This morning. Where did you get the idea?
For the record, I do love X-Force, though. So, just saying, Rob. Doctor Strange, I got to... What I had in my pool took me through issue 14 of
and
the
new
run.
And then they rebooted it?
Yeah, probably. They're probably getting ready to.
Series.
That means I finished Death of Magic, which was fucking awesome. And then I got to where they reintroduced Satana. And she feeds Doctor Strange bacon that's been possessed by demons for 400 years.
That cover was amazing.
And he has to barf it up. But there's this amazing line where he says to Satana, "Did you catch the rhino that farted in my mouth?"
I gotta Google that. That's probably a sex thing too.
Rhino fart.
Yeah, rhino farting.
But so it's funny because Doctor Strange is doing kind of what Hawkeye did, where it's humanized Doctor Strange. He no longer has the ability to have his pain absorbed, like all this other shit. Oh, I don't even want to know. But
we'll end the segment with this.
He's funny. Like, it's more funny. It's like more, I don't know. It's a good time. So
the first thing that comes up is fart in mouth porn videos.
Wow. I don't want to know what you look up on your spare time. Really quick, I'm going to do three more.
Buddy, come on.
Really fast things. Sci-fi show The Expanse is fucking awesome. If you like Battlestar Galactica or Firefly, it fits kind of both of those niches. It's a really, really good show. The new season of Gotham has been fucking amazing. I don't want to give anything away because I know nobody's caught up on it.
Where are you? Are you at the second half?
I'm fully caught up.
Like, oh, okay.
Whatever episode came out this last week, I watched.
Nice. Okay.
So
I think I'm two episodes behind.
The main thing that's been hilarious and funny and really well acted out is Penguin's sexual desire for the Riddler that is unreciprocated. Like, it is an amazing plot twist that's been really well done, and I'm fucking loving it. And then one last thing that reminded me a lot of our group of like assholes and idiots that come on this show and talk. I watched a documentary that is called Drunk, Stoned, Brilliant, Dead, and it's the story of the National Lampoon magazine. And holy fuck, it was put together by like really, really smart people that just didn't give a fuck and wanted to do drugs and have tits in a magazine. Nice. And it's fucking amazing to watch like how a magazine and like all of the kind of things that went along with it launched the careers of guys like Bill Murray and Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase. And listening to that story of just how that comedy was born was fucking amazing. So, John, take us out.
All right.
Where do we go?
In proper fashion, the wind tunnel. is promptly defined as you are in the heat of sex, the man or woman sticks their head down into their partner's anus. Upon reaching the anus, the one who is not face full of ass will then let out a fart into the other's mouth. After the fart has been pushed out, the person will hold the fart in their mouth. As they slowly go to kiss the opposite sex. She or he will then release the fart and blow it all over the face of their partner. This completes... the wind tunnel.
Oh, it's like the worst version of Human Centipede ever. Like,
feedback. Feed me. Feed me feedback. Feedback. Feedback.
Hey guys. This is hello. Hey, this is Jonathan from the Lamp Show. Hey, I'm just, I know I'm a little bit behind on, you know, getting my,
messing with me? What's going on?
Hello? Hey, listen, I want to put my list of the top for the, hello? Hey, guys, this isn't funny, all right? Listen, I just want to give you my list. This is Jonathan from the Lamp Show. Look, I just want a little bit of respect here. I just want to give you a list and just tell you what my...
Forget it, all right? Hey, guys. My bad. This is Jonathan. Hey, there's something wrong with my phone that was making that happen. Hey, I love the show. Great job. Just keep it up. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, it's Jonathan from The Lamp Show. Hey, I was just listening to your 55th episode, getting ready to upload my first episode out to Podomatic. And so I was just calling for some tech support because I'm having a little bit of trouble. I figured you guys would know what you're doing. But I really liked the episode. Clyde was awesome. It was cool to just see that crossover element. And Sugaritis was great. Just hearing, you know, her and the interaction between her and Mel, it was like, just it blew my mind. It was so great. The guys from 3 and 20, they were pretty fantastic too, and it was great to hear about the wrestling that you guys do, or that you talked about wrestling. I'm really nervous. I'm having a little trouble. Like the podcast is uploading real slow and slower than like a dial-up modem. But when the internet first came out, so like people like connected to the internet over these modems and like you had to dial in and connect. Like you didn't just use the internet, wasn't always on. So like, you know, you. You know, so that's how you'd get into the internet and make things. So, So I'm trying to get this thing online. My show is on Podomatic and I got it on SoundCloud and, I can't. So I just hit the button here and I just was, crap. You won't stop playing. I just, hold on. There's a red X here. It says, do you want to save? No, I don't think I want to save. So I'm just going to hit that X out. Oh, shit. I think I deleted the whole thing. Oh, God. Hold on, guys. Let me call you back.
Yeah, hello. I was calling Thinking Outside the Long Box with John, Vaughn, and Gabe. And my name is Gunther. I was calling mostly simply so that Michael Kirk wouldn't be such a crybaby anymore and be worrying about how no one else ever uses the phone number. So he's got that going for him now. That must make him happy, yes? Other than that, I was calling just to tell you guys, I think you're doing an amazing job. Everything is usually very funny. I enjoy greatly your discussions about comics and things like that. I'm a little disappointed, I must be honest, that you don't seem to have time to catch up on all of the different shows and things. John, I know, is very busy, but it makes me sad to know that he can't keep up with watching the shows. And Gabe seems to suffer from shiny syndrome, and he will wander off and watch other things so that there's nothing for him to talk about with Vaughn. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, good job, keep up the good work, and tell Michael Kirk that he doesn't have to be alone any longer, because I've called. Have a good day, gentlemen, and I will see you again. Auf Wiedersehen!
God damn it, Juan!
What does it take to become a National Guild of Hypnotists certified hypnotist? Well, you might be surprised. Hello, my name is RJ Velotti, certified hypnosis instructor and master hypnotist and the owner of ATP Hypnosis Institute. Take a second to think. How many hypnotists do you know? I'm betting the answer is probably none. How cool would it be to hypnotize the willing participant at a party or to be able to help a friend stop smoking or get paid for helping someone lose weight? You can even learn to make people laugh as a stage hypnotist. This is the same training that any hypnotist hypnotists would undergo in learning their craft. The National Guild of Hypnotists is the oldest and largest international hypnosis association in the United States today. This complete hypnosis training will be taught by me, National Guild of Hypnotists instructor R.J. Velotti, right here in Fort Myers for 5 consecutive weekends starting April 22nd. For more information, go to atphypnosis.com or call me, R.J., at 239-699-6167. That's 239-699-6167.
Hey, this is Clyde.
And this is Sucralose Mammaries.
How many times do we have to tell you? Sugar tits, blondie.
Sorry, you guys are the dumb ones on this show.
That's my girl. We're from the Old Still Radio Show. And we just wanted y'all to know we love this fucking podcast. That's right, it's time for more Thinking Outside the Long Box.
This is Butch and Adrian, 3 and 20. You're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Gangster.
He's the criminal's worst nightmare. A cop who enjoys the danger.
No guns, no jiu-jitsu, just bring him down.
Do you really want to jump?
Well, then that's fine with me. Come on.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What the...
He was ready to retire. Now, he's going to wish he had.
Gun!
Oh! 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 Raj, meet your new partner.
New partner?
If these guys can just stand each other...
What you got in there?
Boy and Smith?
A lot of old-timers carry those.
The bad guys don't stand a chance.
Don't kill anybody.
Don't kill anybody.
I'm too old for this.
Are you as good as you say you are?
Nobody can touch me.
Suppose we better register you as a lethal weapon.
You ever met anybody you didn't kill?
Well, I haven't killed you yet.
We're recording now.
No, of course we are.
Of course. I'm just going to say it.
Acai!
And then they're going to be like, what?
Is that really how you say it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Acai.
Isn't he a chef or something?
Something like that.
Come on, Chef
used
Gabe.
To be.
Like I've ever cooked with berries.
You see that body? You don't get that body cooking with berries.
Dingleberries. And we're back!
Wind tunnel.
Oh, hey.
Hey, you looked it up. That's not my fault. That's your fault.
I did.
Buddy, that issue of Thor has been through some shit.
That's what I mean. So, who's going to record video?
Oh, are we doing it right now?
Oh, we're going to, I guess, yeah.
All right, here we go. Hold on.
So, we got to...
So, you got to give us reading and aggressive reading.
Yeah, I'll give you passive reading and aggressive reading. So, obviously, this will be on our...
You want me to intro this at
all?
No,
I'm going to intro it on the recording.
He's doing it himself.
So...
Well, I'm pressing the record button.
No...
When will then be now?
So, you know, we were like we were talking about earlier. Sometimes I would passively read comic books.
Right, Power Man and Iron
Fist looks like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Passively reading the comic book. That's good. Here, I'll put it close to the mic. Oh, listen to me flip the pages passively.
Yes.
And then, so this is aggressive comic book reading.
Oh man, yes! It's so good.
It's like that.
Wow. I don't think so.
I should have hit the comic book with the chair.
I'm going to hang on to that because I'm going to put it on eBay because it's touched your junk. So.
Dude, that would have been awesome. You slammed the chair on the table.
You should totally put this on eBay.
John in the eye. Like.
Would you come home with a black eye?
Gabe was aggressively reading a double-sized annual Thor.
You should totally put this on eBay.
With the video. That's genius.
And just be like...
Think of how many people would be like, what the hell is this? And then they would click on our link to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Yeah, I'm serious.
I'm gonna do it.
You do it.
I need to send you this so you can put it on the YouTube.
This is a fair copy
of we need
fair. Number 13. Has only been aggressively read once.
One time. That's it.
Slight mold damage. send that off
from
to
all the passive reading.
From all the passive reading.
Yeah.
It passively sat in a bathtub with somebody, apparently, at one point.
So maybe
I'm
it has
go ahead
touched
and post
other genitalia.
A picture.
Right.
You never know.
Just wait. Say, just look for Gabe's stamp of approval.
Mushroom stamp.
Coming to my eBay store shortly. I'm going to list that this afternoon.
That would be so amazing.
What should we put the asking price at?
What episode is this? 56?
No, that's yeah.
Start
I was
the bid
say,
at 56
don't say $56 because no. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Start the bidding at 56 cents.
Or make an offer.
You know what? You know what would be hilarious if it was one of those times when, like, assholes just keep bidding
yes,
on it?
Absolutely. And then we could take all that money and we could buy some microphones
see,
or a
here,
new thing.
Here's the thing is I bought new stands.
Oh, did you?
And fucking nobody will – no, I can't use
oh,
them
yeah,
anywhere.
Oh, yeah, the cable clip
I can't fucking use
ones.
Them anywhere.
Because they're – why?
Well, I bring them – I don't want to bring them here because of all the people who come in and out.
Yeah.
I think the stand ones are not effective for that. So I kept these for you – for here.
Okay.
But then we use them at his house in my place and he's like, I got a new table. So I'm going to need you to bring the old ones back. So now I can't even use them at his place. So they're fucking obsolete again.
Can you return them?
No, I can't. It's an Amazon thing.
Man.
Well, I told him, I was like, buddy, the ones I bought would be better served on your table. Nah, bring the old ones.
Man. He's
such a douche. I know. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. He's not paying any attention to what I'm saying.
I was just posting a picture of the aggressively read comic book.
God,
did you tag me in it?
Damn it.
I tag you in everything.
You tag me in all that stuff.
And then you never reply to anything.
Jim's got it.
You never reply.
So they finally changed the app on my iPhone where I can swap between.
Nice,
the
good,
people.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to do that more.
I always like his Hall of Justice for
that's
you.
Awesome. Do it. That's fine.
Gabe still hasn't learned.
No, I do it on purpose.
So every single post I had to unlike as thinking outside the long box because we look like idiots liking
our
own posts.
Stuff.
I do it on purpose just to irritate Juan.
I know. I wish you'd just do it as you so that maybe more people could see it.
Nobody looks at our stuff.
Idiot.
Oh, now that I've regressively read a comic book, why don't we talk about our pop culture?
That's what I heard.
How do you regressively read something?
Can you show us that, too? Can you put that?
Can I show
you?
Can you
tape it back together?
Regressive. There's a book. That's regressive.
Wow.
It's got pictures.
It got pictures.
So side note, before all of that, they heard a trailer to what our pop culture classic is.
Right.
What are we
talking about?
Yeah.
This is
pop culture
I was
going to
talk about the comics I read, but that's okay.
Oh, well, let's do that.
No, let's go ahead.
Oh,
let's
God,
talk about
here we go.
So, well, now that you've said it like that, we have to.
We'll make sure we talk about the comics that he talked about, okay?
So, Lethal Weapon, made in 1987, directed by Richard Donner, starring Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, and Gary Busey in like a remarkably
crazy face,
remarkably lucid role.
He did, yeah, it was pre-crazy.
So, it inspired three sequels and a TV show. I haven't watched the TV show, but
nope.
I've heard it's funny.
I've heard it's pretty good too. Actually,
that's with Damon Wayans.
Yeah,
and
one of the Wayans.
Some
like
other
18
guy.
Of them.
So Hollywood City officials put up Christmas decorations months early to film this movie.
How is Lethal Weapon not considered a Christmas
movie?
Well,
I didn't know that. So
me neither.
Now it is okay. Officially in my book.
better than Die Hard?
It was the first movie to show a modern cell phone being used. Like an actual like cell phone
that's
not connected.
The fucking buttons on the outside of
the
it?
The purse case thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the purse case?
Bruce Willis was almost cast as Riggs.
Oh, thank God he wasn't.
What are you wearing?
That's my wife.
I do it.
What are you wearing? Nothing. I gotta go.
I gotta go, guys. Let's
watch the shop. What's up?
That's
funny.
Do you want her to pick up some Little Caesar's pizza?
Sure.
Juan and Gabe want a salad.
Oh, God, here we go. Don't
yeah, it's on air, dude.
I've worked hard, all right? I can eat pizza.
Sure. Two?
Yeah, that's probably enough.
Two pizzas.
Sure.
Two pizzas.
Healthy enough.
And maybe a salad. I don't know if Little Caesars does a $5 salad.
I don't think they do a salad.
$5? That's actually an expensive salad.
Why can't we have something like, I don't know, a salad?
But yeah. That'd be awesome. A pepperoni and a cheese. Okay.
Thank you, Carissa.
Thank you, Carissa. Oh, she hung up. She's probably not thrilled with the what are you wearing question.
So, final trivia bit. In Mel Gibson's scene where he's like pointing the gun in his head and sticks the gun in his mouth, the suicide scene, there's actually a real bullet in the chamber of the gun because he thought that that would like bring out his emotions. And the reality is Mel Gibson's just a crazy person, yeah. So it worked fine. So yeah, those are my...
What?
Oh, I will not repeat that.
I'm not repeating
it. I'll repeat it. For those of you who didn't hear Tim Husky's comment that we all laughed at, he said he blamed the Jews immediately afterwards. So, look, we all know. We all know that he's a fucking crazy misanthrope and just hates all people.
But how awesome was he about Donald Trump? Riggs?
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's talk about it.
I have not seen – I don't remember the last time I saw this movie. I've seen it before, but I can't remember the last time I watched, sat down and watched it.
It was super little, which is a little disconcerting because there's a lot of F-bombs dropped.
My son was 4. He was watching with us too, so –
There is a remarkable amount of swearing in it. Yeah. Like, I've watched a lot of other, like, rated R, like, action movies from that time. Movies. And there's, like, you know, they say fuck, like, 2 or 3 times, and that's it. Dude, this is, I mean...
All the time.
Tits in the first 30 seconds, constant swearing.
Ass in, like, the first few minutes.
People get, like, shot nonstop
horribly
in this movie.
Though. It harkens back to when we were talking about They Live and they killed Rowdy Roddy Piper with the gun and he just, like, rigor mortis died. The first scene when Gibson is trying to buy cocaine from the guys in the Christmas tree lot and he... Somebody pops out and shoots a dude with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And the dude just, like, dies of rigor mortis. He's like, ugh.
And he explodes.
He's got, like, 8 holes in him.
Yeah. And it's, like, distinct holes. Like,
so terrible.
We were watching last night, and I was like, oh, my God, this is horrible, but it's amazing.
My favorite part is when they're, like, 5 feet away from the house that explodes, and neither of them die.
And he's never on fire.
No.
But you immediately...
But Danny Glover, tackles him.
I was like, what's Danny doing? Is he trying to save him after the explosion?
He asks him.
His coat was
on fire. He's all, why are you hitting me? Your coat's on fire.
Right.
And it's not. No. Like, what a cheap way to do a special effect. Just tell somebody they're on fire, not do it.
Like, just pretend. Just roll around.
What I want to know is how in the world did they do a controlled blast that blows up a whole house without having any shrapnel hit those guys?
Right.
I mean, they are, like, right there.
Right.
Like, they're 10 feet away from the front door. The whole house blows up, and they're like, whoa, that was crazy. Let's get up and walk away.
Yeah. Let me roll around on you to put out the imaginary fire on your jacket.
Immediately, I was like, what is he doing before they talk about it?
The other thing I found amazing is how the politics of race relations literally hasn't changed since 87. The two little kids are all...
Yes!
How
old you are.
My mom says that cops kill black people. I was like, well, very little's changed. So in general, what was your opinion of it?
I love the movie. I thought it was great. I mean, for what it is. You know, I out of all of them, my favorite is probably the one with Chris Rockin, and I think it's number 4.
Yeah, the one with Jet Li.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite. But I dug it. It's so crazy because we talked about it on the way here, how 30 years ago this is when this was made. Danny Glover looks different and he's fucking jacked.
Right.
Like, he's ripped. He had a 6-pack in the bathtub and I was like, what? It's like, well, like, I don't remember ever seeing him like that.
And like Mel Gibson, like, you know, like you said, we were talking about it. He's also, like, incredibly ripped. And I feel like the only thing that Mel Gibson had really, like, been in that people had watched much of was Mad Max. So it's literally, like, he's gone crazy character to crazy character.
When did what's that movie when he's on back when what is it called?
Right now, Michael Kirk is screaming in his car.
Braveheart.
Oh, Braveheart came out way after Lethal Weapon.
I don't remember when it came out.
Like, because that came out in the 90s. I want to say, like, 95 or 96.
Well, I can look that up real quick. Like,
I would look it up, talking but my phone doesn't work.
Because of the internet.
We were also talking about how jacked Danny Glover was.
Right.
In his
bathtub scene.
Yeah. That was a little disconcerting. Like, if I'm taking a bath by myself and it's my birthday, I don't want my wife and kids busting in on me
because
I'm in the bath.
So My wife wanted to make a few comments. She enjoyed the movie. She said something else that I don't remember right now.
1995 for Braveheart.
Ah, okay.
I was yeah, right.
You were pretty close.
On accident. That's so weird.
Good job, Jughead.
I'm never right. But she did want to say she did want to say that she's pretty sure at the end of the movie the dog eats the Christmas dinner and then dies shortly thereafter because his wife's cooking is so bad.
I love that too. All of the gags
my favorite is, do you really like my wife's cooking? Like long pregnant pause.
Super pause.
No.
She says it all happy too. He was all excited that somebody liked his wife's dinner.
So here was my question watching this, because, you know, I don't remember the last time that I saw this movie. It was a long time ago. What's considered the first buddy cop movie?
I have no
Is
idea.
Lethal Weapon that movie?
Is there stuff before that?
What was the?
There's been probably buddy cop shows before it,
and,
too.
Well, but Chips. I mean, and there's
Dragonette.
Dragnet.
That's what
Dragnet
I meant.
Dragnet is the Game of Thrones version of a cop show.
Riding around on horses and stuff. I don't know. I don't watch this show.
Verily, there are dragons.
Flying around on dragons. Dragon cops?
Yeah, I would.
Dragon cops.
I want to watch that. Amazing. Copyright. Don't steal it.
They have like a little, instead of a siren or a light, they've got like a torch that they hold.
No, the dragon just breathes fire all over everything.
Oh, that too. Not as
That's the it's noise not as they make.
The movie with Eddie Murphy and the other guy.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Is that,
I think that was older.
You have
Lethal
to look that up.
Your phone
His signals. His broke phone doesn't send out the signals.
As he looks at two different
cell
phones.
Phone not available. Here, I'll take this away. Justice Comics.
Thank you. So the first buddy cop movie is considered to be Akira Kurosawa's Akira Kurosawa. He's the guy that actually directed Sanjuro and then Seven Samurai. He's actually a super famous Japanese film director, you asshole. But in 19...
I don't know Akira Kurosawa, sorry.
In 1949, he made a movie called Stray... I don't know why I keep trying to say strange. Stray Dog, starring Toshiro Mifune and Takeshi Shimura.
Where was that made?
In Japan in 1947. As far as American films, in 1967, In the Heat of the Night is considered the first like American buddy cop film. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
So In the Heat of the Night is about a black cop and a white cop in the South. It has... I cannot remember the actor's name. Sidney Poitier, who plays Mr. Tibbs. They call me Mr. Tibbs. That movie is fucking amazing, and you should totally watch it.
In the Heat of the Night.
Yeah, it takes place in like the Deep South, and so it's like really weird that one of the cops is black, and everybody's like super racist towards him, and he solves the crime and kicks ass. There's a sequel called They Call Me Mr. Tibbs that's fucking amazing, too. I don't know. So there you go. Thank you, Doyle, for looking up the answer to that. Stray Dogs, and...
Akira Kurosawa made it.
Akira Kurosawa. Super easy to say. Like, legitimately one of the most famous Japanese directors of all time. Like, 90% of the people listening to this show are like, God damn it, Juan.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Western version of Seven Samurai. Or like, so Sanjuro and Yojimbo were made as A Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More. Like, his movies were so popular in Japan that they got remade as American films almost across the board. But it's early. Like, it's an early example of the buddy cop film. It's only 20 years after In the Heat of the Night. There has to, I mean, like you said, Chips was out. There's tons of cop shows. Dragnet is definitely like there's a straight man and kind of like a off the wall like cop.
Right.
Dude, Dragnet is weird. Like, have you ever watched it?
Just pieces here and there, nothing.
So when you watch it, the show takes itself incredibly seriously. Like, it's meant to be like a serious cop drama, but when you watch it now in like, you know, now that there's been shows like CSI or like Law and Order and stuff like that, it's so ridiculous that it's funny. Like, it comes across as funny, and this guy's trying to be the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. And you're like, that guy's a dork. Like, it's such a weird TV show now because it's meant to be incredibly serious, but the way it's filmed and the way it's acted makes it hilarious, like nice. Unintentionally hilarious.
I can get on board with that.
So Lethal Weapon, I feel, is one of those series of movies that got better. It's one of the few, like...
Oh, as you mean, like, as the sequels went on.
Like, I like two better than one, I like three better than two, and I like four better than three. Like,
see, I don't remember the last time I watched anything pre-4. Like, sat down and actually watched it. But 4 is on, like, TBS, it's on, you know, often. And I don't know if that's because it's the star power that came with
it.
But I don't. I'll have to sit down and watch the others too. I just don't remember a time sitting down and watching all
of them. The only thing that kind of bums me out about it is that one of the best characters throughout the entire series is Joe Pesci's character, and this is the only one that he's not in. Mm. Like, and so as I was talking about the movie, you know, Mel's like, "Well, where's Joe Pesci?" I was like, "He's not in this one. He's in the next three." She's like, why aren't we watching those?
Why are we watching the?
I was like, we can't. It's just not for the podcast. I just have to watch this one tonight. Like,
me too. I did the same thing. I was like, oh, crap. I have to watch a movie.
Wait till you're like, oh, crap. I have to read Why the Last Man Volume 1.
Oh, that's – I don't know if that's next or Sandman next. I can't remember. We'll talk about that later.
But so this – I mean, this is a good movie. Like, it's a good start off to it, like, to – a series of films, a TV show, all that other stuff. It's a lot of fun. I feel like if it came out today, people wouldn't be that into it. Like the plot revolves around like history that's old enough that a lot of people, like the whole Air America project was like an actual thing.
Right.
Like the Vietnam War was still like a recent memory. The fact that like Riggs and Murdoch were both in Vietnam and they're like just middle-aged men, like those guys that were in Vietnam are now like granddads and stuff like that. So it's just dated enough that I think it might kind of put people off, like if it came out today.
Well, and I mean, it's out today. It's just not a movie.
You know what I'm saying, right? Though? Like, if it came out, like, if that particular storyline came out now in a movie, it's just – they would have to update it where, like, Afghani soldiers were trying to transport, like, poppy or something like that. You know, it's, like, just dated enough that it's kind of like, this is still a great movie, but it's kind of – it is funny watching Mel Gibson, like, unload two clips at a helicopter. Like, that's going to do something. I told Mel, I was like, that helicopter has an awesome smiley face on the side of it now.
That was funny.
That was funny. You know, and when you're watching it, their relationship, because it starts like so antagonistic,
right,
where they like dislike each other at the beginning, it took time. Like, it took time to develop into something.
It starts when he saves his life.
Yeah, but it takes time for it to be like enjoyable.
Right.
Like, it's at first you're just kind of like,
God. At first, the movie tone-wise is heavy.
Incredibly serious.
Heavy. Somebody jumps off the hotel balcony. He's almost shooting himself, and you have to infer what's going on because you don't really know yet. But I was like, God, I don't remember these movies being so heavy, you know? And then once they start warming up to each other, it obviously loosens up a little bit.
Hilarious. Yeah. Like, but even, like, there's weird, like, kind of non-sequitur moments when they're being tortured, like, that's fucking intense. Like, the torture they're going through is, they're both, you know, Murdoch is like tied to a chair and they're getting ready to fucking torture his daughter. That's fucked up. And then, like, when they're shocking Mel Gibson and stuff, like, it's super, super intense. Then Mel Gibson escapes by straight up killing a dude.
Right.
Right. And then runs to go get Murdoch. And Murdoch has like a one-liner, nobody has a one-liner like loaded in the barrel for when they're about to get saved from being murdered. You know, like, just the way he delivered it, I was like, that seems bizarre and out of place. Like, I don't know that I would be ready with a quip right there. I think I'd be like, oh my God, thank you so much. Holy shit. What was I going to say? So when you're talking about like how serious it is at the very beginning, there's a whole bunch of movies from like the 70s and 80s that are like actiony that people kind of like, you know, it's just a movie.
Right.
But movies like speaking of dogs, Straw Dogs, which is like takes place in Great Britain and involves like a dude's wife getting raped and them like attacking his house and stuff, or like Dog Day Afternoon, where like a guy tries to rob a bank to get the money for his like transsexual boyfriend to get like gender like affirmation surgery, or like Assault on Precinct 13, which is like a John Carpenter movie that's meant to be.
They just made remade that, didn't they?
A few years ago, and it's the remake. That's actually the
with Mos Def. Is he?
Yeah,
in
I think so. But like they like those movies were like aggressively violent, like super super dark and like really heavy movies. And I think a lot of that like seriousness to action films went away like after Lethal Weapon.
You can see it in the sequels though too.
Yeah,
because the following ones don't take themselves all too serious. You know, Riggs is a clown at that point. Right. You know, and it's just I don't know if it's because of the audience as it progressed through the years or what, but I remember thinking last night, like, man, this is – I don't remember being so heavy, you know, feeling so much in the first part of this movie.
Like, it's just – it's interesting to see that, like, people I don't think are ready anymore in entertainment to consume something so serious. Like, they don't want to actually think about the motivations behind, like, a bank robbery or behind, you know – like some revenge thing that happened to some guy. They just want to watch. Everybody wants to watch Bad Boys,
right?
Where they like, you know, drive a Hummer through a favela, which is super fucked up anyways. But like, you know, there's action movies, like especially as the 80s went on, and like as, you know, they continue with movies like The Expendables and stuff like that. Like the plot has become like this cursory, unimportant aspect of an action movie.
Right.
I think there's a lot to be lost in that. Like Lethal Weapon is really good just like as a movie, and I'm actually, it's weird to me that the sequels that it spawned, though I like them better than the original, are so different from the first one that they're almost,
to me,
not
they're more
the same thing.
They're more comedy movies.
Yeah, they're comedy
than
movies.
Anything
they're
else.
Not they're action comedies.
Yeah I remember the first one, I was like, man, I don't, you know, like I keep saying, I don't think I laughed at all through this whole first movie at any, like there were little parts here and there.
You chuckled at a few one-liners.
Yeah. You know, and when a few crazy the note that they leave for the bad guy on the tree made me laugh, you know. But
when he handcuffs the two chicks together to the tree, that made me laugh. He's all, hold each other's hands. Or when the little kid says, don't tell him your name, Antoine.
He's all, you don't tell him you're six.
That's probably some of the best comedy, is those little kids just being jerks to the cops. I mean, it has funny moments,
right,
but it's not a funny, funny movie like the sequels were. Like the sequels are hilarious, largely because of Joe Pesci and his running mouth. But I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting, you know, looking when we look back at like these pop culture classics, like there's things that are interesting about the way, because we've talked largely about movies so far,
right,
about the way movies are made now versus the way they were made then. Like even an action film or a comedy film, it had to have a plot that had something to it, or people weren't interested in seeing it at that point. It wasn't until, you know, the late 80s, early 90s, when they started really making movies where an action movie just has to have explosions, and like a comedic movie just has to have fart jokes. Like, and as long as it has those two things, it'll be successful. Like Dumb and Dumber. The only funny part of that movie is when he craps in the bathroom that doesn't work. Just saying. It's not funny. Jim Carrey's not funny.
Should we wait for John a little bit?
Should
I think
we wait
he has
for John?
One more person. All right, I'm going to hit pause.
Speaking of Lethal Weapon, the difference between fried burritos and chimichangas. All right. There's a pretty quick difference between fried burritos versus chimichangas. The main difference is that a chimichanga is a deep-fried burrito that typically just has meat in it. Whereas a fried burrito typically has beans and rice.
Mm.
So that is... it's basically nomenclature. It has nothing to... they are... a chimichanga is, in fact, a fried burrito.
It's all about the stuff.
But a fried burrito is not always a chimichanga.
I don't know. I assume that it is.
You gotta have the rice and the beans.
Then it's red burrito.
I know.
I just eat a burrito. I don't need to fry it.
I don't need to fry it, but if it's on the menu.
It's too much fat.
I'm not to order it.
I'm not going to skip it or nothing. I'm glad we recorded that.
Yeah, that was weird.
All right, let's pause and wait for John again. Here to record.
Yes.
Yeah, your job is pretty sweet.
Thanks.
That's why I keep telling you, but you don't want to listen.
You're recording now?
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, I'm recording.
So,
and we're back! I'm back.
How do you feel fried burritos versus chimichangas has to do with Lethal Weapon?
What? I must have missed that part.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, just going back, what's your opinion?
Thumbs up.
That's it?
I know, but word lie.
I'm trying to get you to say, like, what?
No, I dug it, man. It's just a fun, goofy, but, like, I heard you guys talking about it. Like, the torture scenes are super brutal.
Yeah.
And the scene where he's in his RV and he's got the gun in his mouth, that's, like,
incredibly intense.
Crazy yeah. tense. So, and my favorite scene is when he goes up on the roof to get the jumper and he just handcuffs the dude. He's like, you jump, you kill a cop. That's, you know, you're a murderer.
I love the guys, like, as, like, they jump down. A, he would have seen the giant pillow
thing. Yeah, the parachute thing.
So I don't know why he's so scared.
I don't either.
But they jump down and they get to the bottom. The guy is immediately like, this dude's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
He tried to kill me.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, he didn't.
No.
There's a giant stuntman pillow thing there. Like, you're going to be
fine.
And
wouldn't he have seen, like, the fireman blowing that thing up? And
yeah.
No. I don't know.
There's always a weird disconnect with that scene for me.
Right.
He freaks out when they jump.
Right.
And I'm like, but, I mean, they're right there.
Yeah,
like,
but you can see, you're not that high off the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's like jumping off the King Supers up in Greeley or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if that would really hurt.
You'd probably just break both your legs and make everything way worse. The one thing, the scene that at the very beginning where the girl jumps off the building
and
it's like slowly going down the side. I mean, that's really.
Well, and even like the opening shot where the helicopter's flying around LA and then they get close to the tower and then they zoom in on the room and they go like
into the
room. That's like, I'm pretty sure that was ahead of its time for the day.
Like, that's
because they do that now all the time with drones and stuff like that.
But
back then, I mean, I think that was pretty like. That's really cool.
They were doing a lot of stunts with helicopters.
Right. There's a scene where they're on the salt flat and they're trying to stop the limo with the helicopter.
Right.
I looked at Mel and I was like, that is some fucking fancy helicopter flying.
Yeah.
Like that took
someone incredibly
skilled at flying a helicopter
at the standoff when the helicopter comes in, circles, and then kind of whoosh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just my wife's like, oh, that's fancy driving there.
as they're pulling up in the car and then like the giant
the limo,
like the limo SUV, and the giant SUV and the helicopter. Maul, there's no way he's compensating for something.
No.
That tells you.
Did Husky talk about Crazy Face at all?
No.
So we were in here the other day. We were trying to figure out, because neither of us could remember the bad guy's name. And he's like, it's Crazy Face. I was like, who the hell is Crazy Face? And then we figured it out. It was Gary Busey. And I was like, oh, that's so fitting.
I thought you were talking about the other bad guy.
No. And then like I was answering phones, and he's like, Crazy Face. And I would just bust up while I was like in the middle of answering a phone call. It was amazing.
So my favorite thing about it is...
What about the lighter thing? When Busey held his arm out
his
and
face.
He was... So weird.
So watching it, I'm like, man, Gary Busey is like incredibly lucid.
Yeah.
Like he seems like just like a normal actor.
Right.
And I was kind of talking with Mel about it. And she's like, you know that he was in like a really serious car accident, right?
That's...
I was like, oh, he's not just a nut job. I get it. Like,
wow.
No, I totally thought he was just a crazy person that had done like too many drugs and like fucked up his brain so bad that he couldn't function anymore.
No, he was in a car accident.
It makes me way more sympathetic to him.
Right.
Like,
so you know you're making fun of the handicapped guy, right?
Oh, because that's different than every other episode of this show.
But no, I loved it. It was awesome. It's still awesome. It's sad that Mel Gibson has gone. It's funny.
Like full both, anti-Semitic.
I think all three. I don't know that Danny Glover is all there right now, too. So like Gary Busey, Mel Gibson, and Danny Glover. Over the deep end.
They should make like Lethal Weapon 5.
The reunion.
We all crazy.
The reunion. I'm too crazy for this shit. I'm crazier than you are.
It's just them in a room.
I'm the craziest.
It's just them in a room yelling at each other and people that aren't there.
They're at the old folks' home.
That would be amazing.
This is the Jews' fault.
Oh, wow.
That's Mel Gibson.
I'm glad he said that.
Yeah, out loud.
Yeah.
No, I dig it. It was good.
It is
now
good.
It makes me want to go watch the rest of them.
It does.
I don't remember, like I was telling him, I don't remember two or three at this point.
And Ryan, who's just in here, who's listening to us talk about it, he's like, you guys talking about Lethal Weapon? I was like, yeah, but the original one. He's like, the new series is awesome too. So
see, and I've heard that. I've heard it's really good. I want to check it out. It's all on Hulu, but I mean, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Me neither. I have Fallout 4, so.
Me neither. I don't have any time.
See, I walk a lot now, so I walk and watch TV while I'm doing it.
He walks and jerks his butt.
That would be weird.
Walk-a-walk-a-walk-a-walk-a.
That's what he means. When he says walking, he really just means jerking off. Walk-a-walk-a.
There we go.
But,
go.
So thumbs up.
Thumbs up
from John.
Yeah. Thumbs up from John.
I give it a thumbs up as well.
So I just looked down, and we're talking about Why the Last Man next.
Awesome. So the next pop culture classic is actually a book for our comic book.
Yeah,
podcast.
And I don't have any idea what it is or what it's about or
like
what
it.
I'm doing here.
When you drop me off at home, I'll give you.
Well, I think I told him to put it in my. The reason I put Lethal Weapon in front of it is because I knew we were going to be here for this.
Right.
So I told him to put that and Sandman in my box if he had them or if he could find them so that I could just buy them.
So now that we've done two of these in our little list, we need to come up with two more to put at
the
bottom.
Right.
So,
but Why the Last Man is next, which fill us in a little bit.
So
what are we looking into?
Why the Last Man is a comic book by crap.
I doubt that's his name.
Why am I brain farting?
John, who writes Why the Last Man?
Thank you. I kept wanting to say Robert Kirkman because we were talking about him earlier.
I almost said the other guy. Seesaw guys.
Seesaw?
Good. Yeah,
I don't know who you're talking about. Anyway, so the plot of it is a virus hits the earth and kills every male except for a dude named Yorick, hence why the last man, and his male monkey.
Why did... Okay.
He has a pet monkey. Like, it's super interesting. It's really fascinating. It's a lot
What's
of fun.
Up?
So, hey, you want to come say hi in the microphone, Finn?
Just say hi.
Can you say hi? Look.
Hi.
Can you make a fart noise?
We'll be back.
Hey, this is Cowboy Johnny Mantell, the president of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and you're listening to me right here live on Thinking Outside the Long Box. Come see us at the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame and keep your ears posted right here for all the latest news. God bless.
This just in. We interrupt your currently scheduled podcast for an important announcement. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jimmy, and we are Meta'd Podcast, meta-analysis of everything, video games.
And not video games.
Well, primarily video game-themed podcast.
Check out our Zelda series, and stay tuned for whatever adventure comes next.
Now we return to your regularly scheduled podcast.
And we're back!
It's about time, John.
Sorry.
You
got a business to run,
sir. It did look like you were dealing with one of, an older...
Difficult.
I don't want. Yeah,
guy.
Let's say difficult customer.
So Richard runs.
Dick.
Yeah.
What's amazing is I guarantee he does not listen to this.
No, of course not.
Because that involves Computrons.
So he used to run a comic shack at Buckley Air Force Base. Buckley Air Force Base kicked him out, so now he's driving all the way down to Springs, and he has a shack at Fort Carson. That he's trying to sell comics and collectibles and stuff
Describe
out of.
Describe what this shack
I think it's like a kiosk like you would see at a mall. You know, like
okay.
a little thing.
In the center?
Has,
the people
yeah,
who try to aggressively
I think so.
perfume
the
on
that,
you?
Yes. The people yes. that want
to... Ah!
that want to tweeze my eyebrows. Get away from me with your stupid strings.
He just beats you over the head. Look at my treasury book. Buy my treasury and animation cells.
I remember around Christmas.
How much did he want for that?
For what?
The treasury book.
So he had the Superman or the Superman Spider-Man one priced at $150. And he had the other Superman.
James Spider-Man having a heart attack over here.
Because of the price? Yeah, right? He had the other Superman. The one that's in the box is nice. The other one is not as nice. The other one I think he had $250 on. And he's like, well, you know, I always price things high because I'm always open to negotiation. But I'm like, $30 from $250 is not negotiation. That's total rapage. Like, what are you doing, man? So he had...
I wonder why they kicked him off the Air Force Base.
He had a portfolio of animation cells.
I saw those. Really
all
cool.
All of which he bought from Second and Charles, because Second and Charles has had them up there forever. Like, literally since they opened. They're great. They're cool. But it takes a specific collector...
Perfect pictures of Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine.
Like, they're really cool.
Wolverine and Sabretooth. There was an Iron Man one. There was a Rogue one.
Nice.
And I thought about Jackie for the Rogue one, but I don't know if she... It's a weird thing to collect. And so there was a Sabrina one in there. And I have a couple, Mark and Madison, who are huge Archie people. Like, that's weird to say, but that's what they collect.
That's
Mark collects
a cool statement
all
to me.
Things Archie. And Madison is a huge
Does
Sabrina
he need
fan.
Any of the digests?
We should show him Jughead.
I have a freaking box of
okay.
digests.
Okay.
We should show him Jughead here.
Yeah, we should. We got to get
this
the hat.
This is me flipping you off.
We got to get the hat. Dude. And we'll just put plates of hamburgers in front of him.
They wouldn't last long.
No. But so he had this animation cell of Sabrina from the animated series, and he had $225 on it. So I took a picture of it and I sent it to him and I was like, are you guys interested in this at all? And he's like, well, just make me an offer. And I was like, no, because it's for a specific person. And if they say no, I don't want to be stuck with a Sabrina animation cell. And so then I got on the computer right there in front of him and I was like, dude, there's Sabrina animation cells. They're like $15 on eBay with $7 shipping. So I messaged Mark, the guy who would be interested in it. And I was like, don't take it. I was like, he wants to sell it real bad. So offer him like $30. And he's like, I told him, I was like, he'd give you $30 for it. And they're like, he's like, sold. I'm basically breaking even on this, but I was like,
then
I don't
why
care.
Do you have to work up to $250?
I don't know.
If you're breaking even at $30,
this
market,
one's on.
If you're breaking even at
$30, Jim's probably got stories about
I'm
Richard.
Just saying, if you're breaking even at $30, price it at $60.
Right.
Like, and you're probably going to get $40 for it.
Right.
Like, be smart. Like,
reasonable.
I was talking to a younger guy at work who's just gotten into comic books, and he's like, if I buy a comic book, how do I price it? I was like, if you're just buying it to sell it to somebody else, the rule of thumb is what you bought it for. If you bought it for $2, offer it to whoever you're selling it for $4, and then meet them in the middle. Like, it's not that hard. Like,
right.
If you bought it for $30, offer it for $60 and sell it for $40. You're making your profit. The person that bought it for you is happy because they think you got the price down.
Right.
And
but you're not raping people.
And you're not trying to, what is that, like 1,000 times the price? You know?
And he was complaining. Like, the whole reason he came in is because he's complaining that he's not having any sales down at whatever the Air Force Base down there is.
I can't imagine why.
No shit, Sherlock. Like, I don't know.
Rick's been doing that for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
I used to see him all the time when I was working at a local comic shop, and he would come in with boxes of stuff priced
outrageously,
from 5 to 10 times above guide.
Gosh!
And then he'd be like, "Yeah, no, I've had it for 10 years, and you know, and you make,
those are
and
all
you make
free,
him an
so
offer,
any movies?
and he'd be like, "Sure, I'll take it because I need money for gas today." And you're like, why do you have it priced so high? Well, you know, where I sell it, there's no sales tax, so I figure people would be willing to pay a higher price. Yeah, but not that high.
But 80-fold?
Sales tax is like 6%. It's like 6 cents on the dollar.
That's why it didn't make any sense.
Oh, people aren't paying sales tax, so I'm going to sell this dollar book for $45.
I know. I know. It never – it didn't make any sense at all.
So my – what I've noticed is that
– Poor thing.
I know, this poor book. What I've noticed is that the older you are as a seller – the more inclined you are to try to price gouge. And I think part of it is that there was a point in time where whatever the price was at the comic book shop, that's what the price was. Or like, you know, you could maybe get them to come down like some, but you couldn't like go on your phone and look at eBay and be like,
and compare.
Dude, this is a $5 book. Why are you trying to sell it to me for $60?
Well, I had to explain to him sold listings. Because he's like, oh, yeah, this is on eBay all the time for $150. Yeah, because crazy assholes like yourself put it on there, but nobody's paying that for it. This is how you look at sold listings. Right. This is actually what the book
what
is
people
selling
are buying
for.
It for.
Well, you know, eBay's only been around since around 2005, 2006.
Truth.
So before that, it was just what the shop had.
Right. And that's and what I'm saying.
If you could negotiate. So, yes,
there's a generation of sellers and like speculative sellers that are old enough that they don't quite understand the technology enough that they can cover their ass when they're trying to sell something for a ridiculous amount. And then some like 12-year-old's like, dude, I can buy this on eBay for $5 right now. Matter of fact, done.
Free
I'm
shipping.
Not buying yours.
No sales tax.
Yeah, we're not. I'm not. I don't pay sales tax off eBay. So, and guess what? I pay less because I set up an alert for whatever I'm looking for, and when it comes up for 50 cents, that's the one I buy.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting conundrum.
So it's just crazy because he is another. Not to dog on the guy, but we're gonna do it for one more thing. Everybody here, I think, knows Mike Murray, who's part of the group. He's an admin for the CCBE. So Mike has had like a short box of great.
Has a thing for my wife.
Yeah. Who doesn't, though? I mean, let's be honest.
I've never met her that I know of.
You have a thing for her. It's okay.
It's okay.
Say one way or the other.
She's hotness.
She is.
I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying I've never met her
before. You call my wife ugly, motherfucker?
No way.
Man.
I would never do that.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, it's going to be aggravated punching. Aggressively beating.
Don't make me aggressively read your shirt.
I am not that stupid to do something like that.
I'm a giant teddy bear. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
So Mike has had a short box of graded books that he bought from Mile High when Mile High had a stupid code word sale.
Right.
And he got them for nothing, you know.
Right.
For less than it costs to grade the books. And Mike has been trucking them around from show to show to show to show, never selling any of them. Because it's like, you know, Weird Western Tales 138, graded at 8.5. Nobody cares. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's probably the only book that's graded of that issue. And so I guess at the last, it was at the Denver RetroCon, Richard bought all of the graded books from Mike. And Mike, Jim's already laughing. And so Mike was like, you know, he cut him a deal because now the burden is off of Mike's shoulders and it's on somebody else's. We went to, I think it was Rocky Mountain Con. We had a booth there and the guy came down here when my wife and I think Alex were working here for me and tried to sell them to me. Like, no, I'm not going to take Mike's garbage that you bought
that
from
you
Mike
bought on accident,
that you're
basically
trying to sell me. No, get out. You leave.
That's amazing.
Drives me crazy.
He
what's that, Finn?
And he's like, hey, you like a man.
You look like a man.
You're like a man.
That's right.
Not quite a man, just like a man.
Just like he looking like a man.
He looking like a man. Great Miss Swan reference, dude.
All of Justice Comics.
Man, what a dick. Why would he do such a thing?
Which one?
When Rick would come around all the time,
the,
10 years
the rebirth
ago,
issue or the number
to tell
one?
A story when he was in boot camp that his drill sergeant decided to give him a nickname. His last name is Bright. So he's Richard Bright. Well, the drill sergeant decided to call him Not To.
Not To?
He's like, everyone is like, damn.
He used to sign things as Not To.
And he's like, boom?
And it's perfect. That's, the thing with the graded comics. It's a perfect story, and the gouging of prices. That's what he does.
So dumb.
Finn, can you tell me into the microphone what your favorite comic book is? Yeah. What is it?
So, this Star Wars.
Star Wars? John's son likes Star Wars? That is a shocking revelation.
But he told us earlier he likes Namor better than Aquaman.
You don't like Namor better than Aquaman. You don't even know who Namor is. He's the name we shall not speak.
He who shall not
Finn,
be named.
Finn was totally like, who in the world is Black Manta? I heard him say that.
No, he doesn't, because that's his favorite villain to play with out of the toys that are up on the shelf.
You're still not caught up on Aquaman, are you?
I know.
Oh.
Is it good?
Uh-huh.
It gets real gay real fast.
Because Aquaman is Dad's favorite.
That's
He's
right.
He's Dad's favorite.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Wonder Woman, Batman, and Flash.
Wonder Woman, Batman, and
nice.
Flash.
Nice.
Dude, that's a pretty solid lineup.
And Voltron DC and Darth Vader, way. Huh?
That's a great booger pick, too. And Kylo Ren. That is an amazing superhero.
I don't know who's in the force. The big walkers.
Yeah.
The step on stormtroopers.
I'm not going to lie. This is fascinating to listen to. I love listening to the kids talk about the stuff that they like.
Right.
I think I've told you guys about my idea for a show. It's called Critical of Kids, where an adult and child talk about the same movie, and we find out if Finn liked Finding Dory and then if John liked Finding Dory.
Right.
Which,
did you like Finding Dory?
Yeah.
What was your favorite part?
The Hank is like a septopus.
That's right.
A septopus,
he's okay because he's a septopus, not an octopus. If you were an octopus, we'd have problems.
And how
Daddy would have
how
problems.
Does Daddy feel about Hank?
And you don't like octopuses.
I don't like octopuses.
No, but I do. And
prefer octopuses.
So can I buy you a lot of octopus stuff for your birthday?
No.
Yeah.
Did you see the cakes posted to Facebook?
Yeah.
All my friends are awesome.
I had the dinosaur cake for my birthday when I was 3 years old.
Nice.
Nice.
That's cool.
That's a memory. Awesome. I don't remember anything about being 3.
I don't either.
It's probably silly.
I went and saw Return of the Jedi when I was 2.5.
I'm a replica?
Yeah, you were never 3.
I might have gotten to see one of the Godfather movies when I was 3. I got to see Return of the Jedi when I was 3. Wow.
Yeah, in the movie theater. So I saw one of the originals.
I did too. That's the only one I saw.
We and Daddy watched the Star Wars movie.
Did you like Rogue One?
Yeah.
Do you remember what you told me about Rogue One?
What?
That it needs more walkers.
Mm-hmm. And more stormtroopers.
And?
Hmm. Yeah.
Want to say it?
Darth Vader.
Needs more Darth Vader, huh?
Yeah.
Darth Vader's basically the best movie villain of all time. Like, he's absolutely amazing.
Who doesn't need
so okay right. let's talk, because we haven't, you and I have not talked about Rogue
and
One
we,
like at
right.
all
and
yet
we made more Kylo Rens.
Yeah no. More Kylo Rens.
More Kylo Ren,
more
huh?
Sith Lords. Yes. So here's the thing, going from Rogue One to Episode 4.
Yes.
Okay.
Is this my beef? Did I talk about this already?
Vader.
I don't know.
Vader watches
the blockade runner leave.
The blockade runner leave.
Exactly.
And then Leia says, no, we're on a diplomatic mission from Alderaan. Why doesn't Vader say, bullshit, right. I literally just watched you leave.
I saw you,
I saw that shit.
My eyes ain't so good.
Fuck
and
you.
Rogue One was just made. And
fuck you.
Episode 4 was 40 years ago.
But the people who made Rogue One could have watched Episode 4. It's a thing. You know how it works.
I feel like Darth Vader should have just been like, bullshit, give me the disc right now.
Okay, here we go.
Luke and Leia are brother and sister, right. And they could feel it in the Force in the later movie, but not in the first one when she kisses him.
Well, no, he just feels
better.
He just
Yoda.
Feels the wiggle in his pants. That's what the Force feels like. The Force feels exactly
strange,
like
tingling sensation.
Vader, and Vader's their father. How does he not know when he's standing there right there with his finger in Leia's face?
Same, he just feels the wiggle in his pants. That's what the Force feels like.
He has the wiggle in his pants.
Well, I mean,
his legs were cut off.
Well, that's why he doesn't know. He doesn't have the wiggle in his pants.
No,
and Vader is like a bad guy because the other nice guys fight him.
Fight him.
That's right. I love the karate chop move. So, Finn, let's be super honest, okay? Can you tell me what the best thing about Darth Vader is for you? What's the best thing about Darth Vader?
So, Darth Vader has the right saber to crush everything down.
Yeah.
He crushes everything.
So you, that's your favorite part, you like Darth Vader and the lightsaber parts?
Yeah.
Nice. I was always a giant fan of when he just picks people up and throws them. Yeah. Like, that is my favorite crap.
There's another question. Luke, Yoda can lift an X-Wing out of the swamp in Dagobah.
Yeah.
If Vader was powerful enough, couldn't he have just force stopped the blockade runner and been like, nope, come here?
I feel like that would be a lot of force.
But he's Darth Vader.
I know, but is he more powerful than Yoda?
I don't know.
And how much bigger is a blockade runner than an X-Wing?
It's significantly larger. Not
big. Not much. They were on Dagobah surrounded by a lot of life.
And so maybe the reason Yoda lives there is because it's just flowing with midichlorian.
Oh, please.
I knew as soon as I said the word, somebody would freak out about it.
I don't freak out about it. I just think it was probably one of the dumbest things.
He doesn't freak out about it. He just starts yelling.
Wait a minute.
Shut up with you and your biological explanation for the Force.
He takes it.
Are you reading the current Star Wars book?
No.
There's a Yoda solo story going on. He goes to this planet.
Yoda solo sounds totally like porno, by the way.
It's a living mountain.
I am.
The force. And you're like, what? Oh, no, please don't say the M word.
You need to Google that. I bet that's a thing.
Like a nice
the Yoda porno.
Tight pants you have.
And the stormtroopers like have a gun to pew everything.
To pew everything. Yeah.
Pew. I was impressed with the stormtrooper's ability to shoot shit in this movie. Yes. Like, I was a fan of that.
Yep.
And the nice guys.
I know. I'm a trained soldier. I can't shoot anything.
And the nice guy gets the stormtroopers right. Gets boom. Oh.
Oh.
Finn, you're the best. This is the best right now. So I loved Donnie Yen and the dude whose name I can't remember.
Please.
Yeah. Dude, their characters were amazing. And then somebody was talking to me about it, and they're like, why didn't they just use their force powers? I'm like, they're not Jedi.
No,
they're just guardians of the temple.
Oh, yeah, that is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was...
I dug that movie, but that was my beef with it, too, because at the end I was like, wait a minute.
He just watched them fly away.
I saw them leave.
Like, why didn't he just get in his TIE fighter and chase them?
Right?
Oh, wait, no. Because they hit light speed, and TIE fighters can't fly that fast.
That's true.
Never mind.
And
that's crazy. I answered my own question.
Oh, like, I rescind the last 10 minutes. Never mind.
Everything I've said for the last, what time is it? When did we start? Invalid.
Darth Vader hopped in his TIE fighter, and Braster, nice guys, would get.
Yep.
I think Darth Vader's TIE fighter has light speed potential, though.
But they have to stay a certain distance. So I remember this from the novels. So a lot of this may not be
nerd
anymore. Oh, yeah.
But the TIE fighters have to stay within a certain distance of the ships because they don't have the large, like the Star Destroyers and stuff, because they don't have the fuel capability to go too far. That's why you see them going in and out so much.
Right.
And the black stormtroopers.
I think his TIE fighter was unique. Blows up and he's just out there chilling.
Like, yeah.
He'd have been kind of fucked without. Yeah. You know?
Well, I'm sure somebody comes to pick him up. They're like, where the fuck's Darth Vader at?
He gone.
Pick me up.
Cell phone calls the Emperor. He's like, hey, Emperor.
It happened again.
It's that damn fuel port.
You know how.
Exhaust port, which is. Exhaust means exit, not.
Enter.
You shouldn't be able to shoot something into it.
It's exit only, like the anus.
apparently not Mel's.
Yes.
And not for Husky either. This is Husky sized.
For the record, we literally always go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally. It's how the first 30 minutes of the show started.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Glad I stayed working then.
Pirate stormtroopers.
Pirate stormtrooper sounds amazing.
Right?
I would watch
the
stormtroopers that ride in TIE fighters. rats. I just and then somebody stops them. I just boom.
Oh,
that's all all the bad guys say. Oh,
I feel like at some point, little kids should be allowed to come up with some of the Star Wars stories.
Yes,
because a ship stormtrooper pirates
would be amazing.
Is fucking amazing because they could roll up on you and be like, "Hey, this is official business."
Right.
Then steal all your shit and be like, "Sucker, we're pirates."
You seen XN-44938
out.
Have you seen Rebels at all? You watch the Rebels series because there's a group of ex-clone troopers that are kind of like that, sort of on the planet that they have one of the old, I don't know what they're called because they're from the Clone Wars, but the walker that had like six legs and it was a tank. They have one of those and they're kind of pirates, which is pretty cool. And they step on stormtroopers. But think
you
about like
really
if they did,
Walker
he loves
stepping
walkers.
On stormtroopers.
So mom got us Lego Star Wars Force Awakens for Christmas or for my birthday, and the first mission.
Finn's like, give me that mic.
No, I'm talking now.
I am in charge.
The first mission is the Battle of Endor.
I'm like talking.
And so you get all the Ewoks and stuff like that, and then you pirate the AT-ST, the chicken walker, and that's his favorite thing because he gets to walk around in that and step on stormtroopers and Ewoks and just blow things up.
I mean, he's on no side. He's just crushing everything.
The walker next to him, I'm like, no, don't shoot me. We're trying to do the same thing.
All rebellions are built on hope.
That's right.
Stomp, stomp, blast.
And like something, and you told me when the remote control turns dead, mean red, then you go die.
That's right. We can't play when the remote control's dead, huh?
Yeah.
Do you want to do old man stuff?
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of doing old man.
That's,
that's
actually my segue into old man. This is a perfect segue because it's video games, and I think yours was video games too.
Yeah.
So we went to the 1UP recently, which I don't know if you guys know
1UP
about.
1UP is amazing.
Right. It's like an arcade bar for adults.
Yes.
And
I drink the beers. I play pinball.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Where is this
place? He doesn't drink any beer.
It's on Larimer downtown.
Like, you know where
but there's also
Summit
one on
Music
Colfax.
Hall is? It's like right across from Summit Music Hall.
Yes.
Look it up.
It's close to Coors Field.
There's a 2UP that's on Colfax.
On Colfax.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not an adult arcade in that sense, but it's for adults, and there's drinks, and you can order food.
I'm
and
not looking for the old machines with the nudie pictures. If we're talking, there's a Galaga machine, I'll be there all day
exactly.
with like three quarters.
And giant Jenga and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, giant Jenga would be amazing.
No, don't care about pinball.
We should go do an episode there at some point.
Dude,
which would be rad.
That'd be fun.
But that, like, when I was growing up as a kid in Pueblo, the mall had an arcade, but that was like a no-fly zone for my brother and I because my dad was a probation officer and he knew that that's where all of the miscreants hung out. So we would
all
have
the chomos.
Because it was like
he wasn't going to go there.
We always go there. Stop telling me what kind of dicks I can't talk about.
I didn't say you couldn't. I said he wasn't going to go there.
It's my job to bring this show back to dicks.
Full circle. Full circle.
Are there children in here?
Well, just mine.
They're already broken. You're already broken, little Finn.
But it was a dark place. There was tons of video games in there. And every time like we would go to the mall as a family, we'd be like, Can we go play? No. Not at all. You know, you have a Nintendo at home because we don't want you to play in the arcade.
There's so many chomos in there.
So
we would
make arrangements to go to a friend's house whose parents would then drop us off at the mall to go play at the arcade.
To go play with the chomos.
But that's not a thing anymore. Like,
no.
Your phone is an arcade, and so now as an adult, I go to a barcade and put quarters in there and play the Simpsons game and just wreck things on the Simpsons game.
So I remember in Greeley when I was in like middle school, high school, there were two arcades. There was one in the mall that was Tilt.
Okay.
And it had,
that's what the one in Pueblo
and
was,
it had,
too.
It was a chain, so it had all the like big Sega gun games and driving games and stuff like that. But every game was like 50 cents to a dollar. It was kind of expensive. Then now there's a Mexican rotisserie chicken place in there. But it used to be like the this that dark. Really good. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. But it was like a dark, like right. you could smoke in it.
Right.
The dude that ran the place literally did not give a shit what yep. was going on. Yep. And you went in, and it was the better arcade because all the games were a quarter because right. they were slightly older. And they did tokens, and the tokens were $5 for $1 or like 30 for $5. Or if you put in a 20, you got like
a bazillion.
I think like $30. I think you got like $30 worth of tokens for a 20.
Token rich.
And like that's how it was. I wasn't allowed to go, right. so I would tell my mom, I'm going to ride my bike around the neighborhood.
Sure.
And then I would go to the freaking arcade yep. and be gone for like 3 hours. My mom would be like, why are you riding your bike so long? I don't know. I'm going to go play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for like 6,000 hours.
Go skateboarding.
No, finish your thing before you go, if you can.
No, that was it. That was my old man video pig. It's just arcades, you know, going to the one up is pretty. Oh, Chris is here. She's got it under control. Never mind.
The Greeley Mall now has an arcade in it,
right?
And it's
and like, it's coming back.
It's like a family arcade.
But that's is it the one with the blow up stuff or is that a different part?
That's
because that's in the Greeley Mall too. No. They have for your kids. You can buy a bouncy house.
Gotcha. So no, this place it's like right on the corner. It's like right there. So it's an arcade. It has one video game or maybe two video games in it, one car game and like one of those like big game hunter games.
Sure.
And then a bunch of those games that have the dumb prizes in it, the like seal right. games yep. and then like a air hockey table. I'm like, this isn't an arcade. An arcade has to have like a wall of video right. games in it. That's the cool. whole point.
Yep.
My kids are like, oh, let's go to the arcade. I'm like, no, that sucks. I'm not letting you spend your money at Suck Arcade. Like, especially when you have a 360 downstairs and a PlayStation 4 upstairs.
Okay,
like,
calm, oh, down, yeah. calm down. Calm down.
I mean,
Grandpa.
I know,
that's
yeah.
where Chomo's hanging out.
That's my dad's it. We're still on Stormtroopers.
I know.
It's going to be that way for a while. There we go.
Oh, I love that. He dies better than Rowdy Roddy Piper does.
Right?
Live.
Or the guy, the drug dealer, the cocaine guy.
He knows that dead guys go limp. They don't, like, stiffen up. Dude, I saw this amazing video that was, like, if you've never delved into the world of African-produced action movies,
nope.
Totally look them up on YouTube because they're hilarious and over the top with absolutely the worst special okay. effects you can imagine. But there's this scene where this guy is running and this guy is shooting everybody with a machine gun from behind. And most of the people just fall down and die.
Okay.
But this one guy falls, cartwheel, head spin, break dance for like 3 minutes. Like, it's literally this slow-mo break dance sequence of him
right.
dying, quote unquote. It's amazing.
That's cool.
I'll have to look it up and post it
That's
to you.
Super
so.
Cool.
So I'm kind of bummed that Michael Kirk isn't here because we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but
Midget porn.
My old man. My old man pick is Bridget the Midget. No. My old man pick is Castlevania. So when I was a kid, Nintendo was like that fresh, like cool new thing, and the game that the game I wanted the most because of the cover was Castlevania because it had a dude fighting Dracula with like a whip, and there was like skeletons all over it and stuff. It was the first time it ever occurred to me that you could have a video game that was like monster themed, and I was completely fucking obsessed with monsters at the time. So, you know,
at the time
still totally obsessed. Yeah. So there were two games at the video store, because that's where you checked out video games from, was at the VCR rental place, and they both had monsters on them. Ghosts and Goblins. Which
that was an amazing game, by the way.
Impossible
so
to
hard
play.
To beat.
It's like the hardest game on the face of the earth. So, like, I played it for 5 minutes and hated it because I couldn't get anywhere. And then I put in Castlevania, and I was hooked. And like, I've been hooked on the Castlevania series ever since. So it's awesome to see that Netflix is like putting together this like cartoon that's going to tell like the story. Because I was always super fascinated with the plot line, because back in the day there wasn't really a plot line in the video game. Like, there would be minimal, but they only had so much memory, so they couldn't put too much storyline versus gameplay.
Right.
So where you got the story was in the instruction manual, and it would have like this little, you know, 2-3 page introduction that told you about the Belmont family and this is what the game is about. I remember when I was a kid and I finally like was able to own a Nintendo, the first game that I made my dad buy me was Castlevania 3. And I had gotten it right before I went, you know, because I stayed with my dad on the weekends and went home to my mom's house. And the Nintendo was for my mom's house. So I had gotten it on Sunday night. Obviously, being an evil parent, as all parents are, my mom wouldn't let me hook it up till after school on Monday. So I opened up Castlevania 3, took out the instruction booklet, took it with me to school, and like read the instruction booklet because I was so excited to play, you know, my very own copy of Castlevania. And I remember reading the story and just being so stoked and loving the art. And like when I got to play the game, sure, the graphics were super underwhelming because it was the original Nintendo.
Oh, but yeah.
I loved the game so much. And as games have gotten progressively better and they keep coming out with Castlevania games, they get better. And I'm excited to see a show that like explores that whole like universe. It's just,
see, I regressed when it came to video games. Now I want to play old stuff.
See, I think everybody's kind of like that. I'm really loving Fallout 4. Like I got Fallout 4 for my PS4 and it's a blast. It's so much fun to play. But when I saw that the Castlevania cartoon was coming out, all I wanted to do was play Castlevania 3. Like, which is 2-button old school Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but hard, like super challenging and really fun.
I was never into those. I had, and I still do, an Atari 2600.
Nice.
So every once in a while when I feel the urge, I break out Space Invaders. You
see,
want to talk about terrible graphics?
Oh, yeah.
But when I was 7 when that came out, that was the most awesome
thing
in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Before then, all you had was Pong.
And that
remember,
was even that was even
really
the most awesome
that.
Thing
yeah.
in the world.
Seeing Pong for the first time, you're like, oh, my God.
This is a
we
thing
can
you can do?
Do it on TV now. And then
I don't have to go outside ever again.
Well, then your mom would chase you out.
Yeah.
I'd hook up to 2600. I'd be playing Space Invaders where you hold down the start trigger as you turn it on so you get the double bullets and you can turn over the score and I'd be sitting there playing for an hour and my mom would come over and she'd shut it off and go mom and I'd be like mom and she'd like get your ass outside.
I remember
I'd have to go outside. I wouldn't have a choice.
I remember leaving those games on permanently.
Yes.
Because you couldn't not save them. So you'd wherever you were, if you wanted to progress in the story, you'd have to just leave the video game on.
I remember oh, man. I don't remember what game it was, but it was a game that it didn't have a save option. Because later in even in early Nintendo, there were saves or, like, passcodes. Mm. Like, once you got past a certain level, you would get a passcode, and you could enter that in and jump you to that spot. But I remember I left the Nintendo on because I had gotten, like, really far into a game. I think it was Ninja Gaiden because, dude, that game was ridiculously hard. Steve can beat it. I've seen Steve beat it. It's insane. But so I had paused it and I told my mom before I went to school, don't turn the Nintendo off. It took me like 4 hours to get to where I'm at in the game. It's really hard and I really want to be able to beat it. And I came home and obviously the Nintendo was off, right? I was like, Mom, why'd you do that? She's all, it's wasting electricity. Like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I was like, the energy consumption of a Nintendo can't be any more than the fact that you leave the porch light on all day and all night. Like, I was so upset. One of my favorite video gaming experiences is when I was a kid, the first copy of Dragon Warrior, or the first episode of Dragon Warrior, I got it. On like a Friday night, I played it like all day Saturday, and then my mom went to bed, and I snuck out of my bedroom and turned it on like all silent and played it all night Saturday. You know, went to bed, slept for like 2 hours, then played it all day Sunday, snuck out of bed again and played it all night Sunday. So I was completely exhausted Monday morning for school. My mom was like, why are you so tired? I was like, I beat Dragon Warrior. Shut up. Like, I mean, I literally plowed through the entire game in a
weekend.
Nice.
That's probably why I never got any of those advanced games, because my mom was afraid that I would pull some crap like that.
I was always doing stuff like that.
I can't – even now I can't do that. You know, Assassin's Creed is probably the last game where I had to actually do missions and stuff. I just like shooting things and or racing. I love Mario Kart now that
it's
I have
because
it.
Because you're getting old.
No way. I'm older than him, and I love, like, long plotline games. I've been playing Fallout 4 for, like, a month now.
It's not that I don't like them. It's just that I don't – when I have kids and stuff, I don't have the time to sit through all of that stuff.
That's valid. Like, that's true. Having four kids, like, I relished the opportunity to, like, not have to go to work for a couple days because I was helping my wife out because she was so sick. And, like, those – the times when Hannah and her were asleep, I was like, awesome, video game time. Like,
I just got a picture of you, and you're playing Fallout 4, and Mel and somebody else are passed out on the couch.
Yeah.
I can't remember if this was Facebook or Instagram I saw this.
Yeah.
They're all dead.
Yeah. It happens.
No, I love playing old – I love – I mean, you've played. We put these games that aren't meant to go on a 100-inch screen projector and –
Dude, the wrestling game is the best because they're just, like, weird and blocky and they, like, just don't look right.
Oh, it's amazing.
Looks like something out of the Pixels movie.
Worse. Usually worse.
Oh, Nintendo Super Punch-Out with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson still has an 8-bit gap in his teeth.
Yeah.
Body blow.
Don't say that too loud. It'll punch us.
I loved when we went over to your house to watch the Royal Rumble. And, like, we had played the Royal Rumble from the N64, like, not, you know, a month before. And out comes Mark Henry. I'm like, I literally just watched this exact same thing happen on a Nintendo 64 version of the Royal Rumble. Like, Mark Henry looks way better in person.
I just need a regular Nintendo now. I got the Super Nintendo. Uh-oh, things are falling.
That's all good. He got it.
Should we wait for John to finish? What else you got? What are you doing, Tim Nintendo. Husky? That's all I need. Oh.
Mouth breathing.
It's cute.
He did the first sketch in my
comic book. It looks awesome. It looks really good.
I'm dead in the picture. That's my favorite part.
Decapitated
with my fat body laying on the ground. You should have done like full man ass though.
I was gonna put like Mel like doing that like grabbing onto his thigh.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome.
The sake of time.
That would have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I need something for the wall. Like I said, whatever. I'm letting people choose. Even stuff that goes in my book, I'm asking for that either Spider-Man or Green Arrow, and I don't care, you know, how. But the stuff I did for Yannick, he chose Swamp Thing because that's what he does.
Right.
I think Ramita, I just told him do whatever. He did Carnage.
Nice.
I just want something from people. I don't care what you draw me. You just draw me something.
You just got to be careful with some of those guys. They've got the worst sense of humor.
That's okay. I'll be happy. I'll be proud to put it in my basement.
Speaking of me drawing something for you.
At DCC, the guys that came in from Utah went up to one of the artists and said, here, draw something on the blank cover. And he's like, what do you want? He said, you take it and run. So it's Spider-Man being pegged by Black. I think it's Black Cat with a strap-on.
That's awesome.
I'm down. I would laugh my ass off.
It was so funny, but they couldn't show it to anybody. Cause
oh, shit. I would have showed it to everybody.
Yeah. That's a different.
Somebody would be insulted or.
But that's a different breed of people. We don't care.
It's so hilarious.
If I were afraid of offending people, like, we would not be doing this show.
We wouldn't exist.
Some of the stuff I've heard about the show. Yeah. I believe you.
It's offensive. I'm offended sometimes.
And he says the stuff.
I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, God. Who said that? I got to go read a comic aggressively.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Let's pause and wait for John to come back and wrap up the show.
All right, sucker. Take us out.
What are you wearing?
Nothing.
That's my new "and we're back." Well,
John is being gay. John,
no, he's not being gay.
All right, lame. He is on his knees.
No,
that feels good.
No, John's over there working, but we're going to wrap up the show. So, yes, if you are interested in kind of participating with us in the conversation, getting, you know, your two bits in on this, just like Michael Kirk and just like Tim Husky does and everybody else that came to hang out with us today, you can check us out at www.totlb.com. That shows and tells you how to find us on Facebook.
This is rough.
I know. I've been having a hard time with it all day. Show and tell.
That's what John's doing right now.
That's where we keep the chomos. That's how you can find us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or any of those things. And if you'd like to support the show, there's basically two ways you can do that. You can go to amazon.totlb.com, which will take you effectively to the Amazon search page, and you can buy things on Amazon just like you normally would, and that gives us a little bit of a kickback. Or you can go to our Patreon page, which is at patreon.com/TOTLB. If you kick us, you know, a couple bucks a month or whatever, it helps us, you know, do things like go to conventions, make it all the way up here to Parker for good times.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are basically
the two. We cut a glory hole in the bathroom today.
Right. Those are the two ways that you can participate with us. I'm trying to find my notebook. I don't know where it went. That's okay. I'll look it up here. You can edit this out later, Juan. He's not going to fix it in post. He's gonna let me dawdle around and sound like an idiot. If you'd like
that's
to,
that's why it stays. I know, it's funny.
If you'd like to leave us a message so that Michael Kirk isn't so alone that he wants to reenact the scene from Lethal Weapon where Mel Gibson sticks the gun in his mouth, then you can give us a call at the Michael Kirk Memorial Hotline, 970-573-6148. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And finally, if you are a creator, you're making a movie, you're making a, you know, musical album with your band parts, if you're making...
Your band parts?
Yeah, band parts. Don't you... I play the guitar with my dick.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay.
I call it my dick-tar. Yeah.
Hey, guy. It's all the same.
It's my murder face.
I got it.
Yeah.
So stupid.
But if you create a comic book, whatever project you're working on, two things. Just do it. Have fun. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Turn your hobby into a career if you get the chance, because I know that if I could turn this podcast into a career, I totally would. And second, when you're done with your project and you want to unleash it upon the world, be sure to contact us. You can find us at www.totlb.com, or you can just shoot us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. We'd love to have you on the show to talk about literally whatever it is that you're working on. So with that said, I'm Gabe.
I'm Juan.
John! Just yell, I'm John.
I'm John!
And this has been yet another amazing dick-filled episode of Thinking Outside the Long Box. We'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.